This is PFW in progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Then you take us out on feet.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact. You just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
You're sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you 5 times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
FNG, Mike Parenti.
You're nuts.
Yeah, a lot of people have been telling me that lately.
Well, you've got to be nuts. You want to work for nothing.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get them.
All right. Gary says that's because of Ray Ventrone, in honor of Ray Ventrone. So Ray makes the team, and this is PFW in progress. The whole team is here, and we got a lot to talk about. The cuts are in. Home opener, season opener coming up on Sunday. Big, big, big stuff to talk about.
And a sad day for you.
Why is that?
John Lynch. Gone.
John Lynch gone. Well, it sounds
for
like
now.
He might be back.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, I came around. I agreed.
Yeah, terrible.
I'm going to back up Fred here. I'm going to stun all, because Fred did definitely come around. The last two games, he was like, you know what? I think you guys were right. I don't think he's got anything left.
I hope he signs with the Jets.
The facts are the facts. You know,
I think the Patriots should hope he signs with the Jets, because it just
Fred, if he signs with
players.
The Jets, you're going to change the tune, because I really want to see.
Oh, now I don't like him. Now I really don't like
overrated,
him.
Overrated pile jumper.
All right, Webb Brady.
It was exciting to see the name on the back of his jersey.
Yeah, it was for that 2 weeks.
You know, they sold a lot of those, believe it or not, in the short time that
Seriously?
He was here.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I believe it.
Talking stupid. With Ken Flanders.
Stupid, stupid fans.
And Mike Perriello yesterday.
Now, did they actually sell them, or did they pre?
No, they sold them.
They had
and they still
them.
Have a lot left.
I was
going to
say, they got them that quickly into the show.
Whoa, they ordered jerseys?
Yeah.
Idiots.
See, you know, here's the thing. Ken Flanders is the buyer for the Patriots, and
Flanders,
it usually takes him like a whole year
here.
Just to decide what he's going to buy.
I think he just got the Randy Moss shipment in.
Yeah, he flipped the switch really quick on Lynch.
Wonder why.
That was
Those gray sweatshirts are coming in, too.
Yeah. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. I want to get right into it, guys, with the weekend's news, the cuts, and then the release of Chad Jackson and John Lynch the day after. Let's first talk about the cuts. I think everyone was a little bit surprised at Fernando Bryant right off the top.
I thought that was stunning.
Yeah.
That was the only move that I thought was at all stunning or even close to stunning, because
he started every
somehow
game.
He goes from starter to every defensive first team rep to out of work.
I mean, up until that last game against the Giants, he really didn't do anything great, but he didn't do anything bad.
Right.
Was it that one play where he got bowled into the end zone?
It couldn't have been. It was
bookends.
Is Andy Hart making the decisions on this team?
It was bookends for Fernando Bryant. The first series against Baltimore, he allowed about 3 or 4 first down throws. You know,
looked like Ellis
Hobbs
on that drive. Yep.
On the first drive the Ravens had, and then the last, you know, what turned out to be the second to last possession that he was a Patriot, was when he went for a ride with Darcy Johnson.
Mm. He couldn't possibly have been cut for that, could he have?
No, but
well,
he could
no,
be cut through 4 weeks, not showing any sign of improvement.
Yeah, that could have been the straw that broke the camel.
My guess is he didn't. He did just what Fred said. He was just blah out there.
He was just blah.
And they said, you know what? Let's just play Terrence Wheatley and the young guys, and maybe they'll take a couple lumps early, but in the long run, they're better options.
And I'm sure that they had an inkling that Delta O'Neal would be available. Now,
Not only an inkling, Bill was not surprised by a single of the 672 players
yesterday
that were
really
cut.
Indicated that.
Well, I don't really understand why you would look at that option and say that that's better than a guy who spent the entire camp with you. Matt,
is quarterback
at least Fernando Bryant? Well, no, I'm just talking about talent.
They tell you it is.
Well,
they tell you how tough the system is to get.
But at least Fernando,
I know, but
Bryant's
I would think the least
starter.
Complicated of the defensive positions would be quarterback.
He was a Pro Bowler 2 years ago.
Pro Bowl starter. Or
05, right?
05, Pro Bowl, had 10 interceptions that
year. So was John Lynch.
Yeah, but the point is, you're saying he hasn't been a starter in 8 years.
He's so not. Why is he any worse or any better than Bryant?
I don't think he's any worse, but I agree with Mike just said. I don't think he's any worse or better than Bryant.
Yeah.
So why?
I think he's more physical.
So why get rid of one and add another?
And he has more versatility on special teams.
He's closer to Otis Smith, where he hasn't been a punt returner in 5 years.
But he can do it, and Fernando Bryant has not been a punt returner in five years.
So,
all right. So you think that they kind of knew that there would be at least, I'm guessing.
Because he had a high cap number. I think Belichick made it clear yesterday. He pointed out to the three moves that Cincinnati made with Willie Anderson and Rudy Johnson and O'Neal and said those are kind of cap casualties. So I think he had an idea of thinking that if there were any close competitions in Bengals camp, they were going to cut the guy who was making the most money. I think that's what happened in all three cases. And so I think he had an idea. And you have to wait a day to see what happens to get your negotiations down. And then when you finally have an idea that you can bring this guy in, get rid of the other two.
Bill also was pretty open saying that the moves they made, Brian or Lynch, were not cap issues, were not in any way related to the fact that if Lynch had stayed, they would have had to guarantee his salary.
Yeah, I think,
and we were talking about this upstairs, I think the timing is what Mike just said. They had a lot of balls in the air. They had Delph O'Neal possibly on the horizon. They put in their waiver claims, and they needed roster spots after the cuts were made to bring those guys on. Had none of that worked out, had they not gotten a single waiver and Delph O'Neal went to...
Right, Lynch would probably still be on the team.
Chad Jackson might be too.
Well, what happened to all the Ty Law talk?
I don't think it goes away.
I think Ty Law still wants money.
That was totally taken out of context.
And I think he'll go down swinging. I don't think he's suddenly going to say, well, you know what? It's first week of the season. I better sign that $900,000
deal. I really think that
deal.
He would rather not play than come,
right.
in,
oh,
play
I do too.
Come in and play for the veteran.
Oh, I do too.
And I also think he thinks he could come in December 1st and play for a prorated $6 million. And if Champ Bailey or some top end corner on a competitive team goes down, he thinks he'll just step
in. Hey, what's up, Bill? How you doing?
And Bill said yesterday to you guys that he didn't expect to be done even now.
Right.
You know, so, this week there's going to be more coming. So
absolutely.
As long
there's
as nobody goes crazy signing Law right now, he'll be on the couch
there's
for a few
weeks. There's also a chance that Delph O'Neal is here for 4 days and they go, I see why Cincinnati cut him. I certainly don't think he's penciled in as like a starter.
According to the blurb that we read yesterday, he did lose his job. Jonathan Joseph beat him out for a starting job, according to what you and I read.
Well, I think maybe
he was the fourth corner.
I still think maybe if it were a case where if it were close enough, they could keep the cheaper guy. Like, I don't think that Johnson necessarily had to beat him out, but just be competitive enough to give him a reason to keep
the
cheaper guy.
And it is the Bengals, so...
I don't know what the...
We're trying to use reason to understand what they did.
I mean, yeah, I agree.
But
I think there was some competition,
but Jonathan Joseph was a
first-round
pick and a highly regarded player.
Yes, he was.
And Delta O'Neal...
is a declining player.
Yeah.
Not only that, he wasn't that good to begin with.
No, he's never lived up to the billing of a first-round draft pick.
Right.
Clearly.
And, you know, he wore out his welcome in Denver, and... you can say what you want about Cincinnati, but Shanahan certainly doesn't have the reputation of Cincinnati of being, bad with player personnel decisions. And Shanahan gave up on him and basically gave him away. He traded Delta O'Neal. Now, Andy and I talked about this too. They wanted him out. They wanted to get rid of O'Neal in Denver, but they traded Fred O'Neal a 1 and a 4 to Cincinnati for a 1 to move up 7 spots.
Tells you a lot.
Well, that sounds like they just said, hey, we'll trade you a 1 and a 4 to move up 7 spots.
Oh,
and can you take O'Neal, too?
Who did they pick in that spot?
Does it matter?
Yeah, it does. Because
no, it doesn't.
If it was a guy that they highly, highly coveted.
Basically, they could have moved up 7 spots for a 1 and a 4.
Right.
Take O'Neal, too.
If O'Neal was what they thought he was,
as I told
Paul,
on
the screen, then they
O'Neal and Shanahan basically got into a pissing contest. He made him a receiver. If I remember correctly, he stopped showing up to some stuff. It got ugly between the player and the coach out there, and it became almost personal.
I agree with your point about targeting a guy, Fred, but that's why you just move up in the draft. You give a 1 and a 4 to get up
to
get up
maybe
a few
the
spots
other team,
if you wanted a guy.
Maybe the other team wouldn't do it, and so they threw in O'Neal because they really wanted
the
guy.
It sounds to me like the other team wouldn't do it, and they said, you got to take O'Neal, too.
O'Neal was Mike Lowell coming to the Red Sox. Just didn't work out as well for Cincinnati.
Right.
I agree with you guys that he may not even be here. In another few weeks.
I think
weeks.
He could
and
start, or he could be gone.
Starter. I think Wheatley is still a guy I put ahead of him right now.
After what happened in this training camp with Bryant, I'm not going to be surprised if what Andy just said ends
exactly.
up. He could start, or he could be gone. How can you possibly try to handicap this situation?
Yeah, it's hard.
Fernando Bryant, from the day he got on the field, was the starter, and from the day he left the field, he was the starter, until the day he left. How can you possibly have foreseen that? That was Raven Trone making the team. Big surprise to me. You know, C.J. Jones, big surprise to
me. That was the bigger surprise.
None of those things to me even approached Fernando Bryant getting cut. That was the be-all, end-all of the weekend to me. A guy who was a starter for every single day of the offseason, right up until the last day he was a Patriot, well, and they just cut him.
Especially when you consider that that they lost three guys via free agency at defensive back.
Yeah.
They were thin to begin with. They had a bunch of rookies come in. And they kept, at least for a day, they kept every wide receiver who was in camp.
And the other thing about that is, at the beginning of the preseason, didn't they try Wheatley as a starter? And then it just seemed like Fernando...
Yeah, with Bryant.
They realized once Hobbs came back, it's like Fernando Bryant kind of beat out Wheatley.
Yeah.
For that. Or,
that's the way it looked.
They rotated
for a little while, too.
Right.
Or was just given the seniority of... You know,
I don't think they're down on Wheatley necessarily. I think they were just high on Bryant for whatever reason, or gave him the benefit of the doubt.
I don't think they're down on Wheatley. I think they're very high on Wheatley.
I think he's going to start week one personally.
I think it was just a case of Bryant being the veteran and getting the respect of being in the starting.
Yeah, it's also surprising too, because they have three safeties on the roster right now. They have no depth back there.
He didn't play badly in training camp. He was all over. I thought that Bryant was around the ball a lot during training camp, and I thought Wheatley was very, very active in training camp. I thought Wheatley had a strong camp.
Yeah, he did.
But during games, I didn't think any of the cornerbacks stood out in a positive manner. I thought they all allowed completions throughout all the preseason games. All three of those guys.
Yeah,
Hobbs, Wheatley, and Bryant.
Getting rid of Lynch, does that have any positive indication as to Merriweather's health?
Has to be. Well, I would have not to, go yeah, in with yeah. two healthy safeties. And
I mean,
no
they only have
plans.
Three safeties. So I would have to assume that they're all.
But he didn't practice.
They're
right?
all healthy.
No, he wasn't there on Sunday. I don't know. Was he there yesterday?
No.
Merriweather was not there yesterday
during the media portion.
Right.
So it doesn't really tell us anything.
We should point that out.
It doesn't make a difference.
He may have come out and practiced afterwards. You could play a little.
But it was
smoke and mirrors there.
A very interesting cut. I thought that Fernando Bryant cut. Yeah. I'm not saying it was a bad move. I'm just saying. Hmm. For a guy,
it took us by surprise.
It stunned me. I can't remember the last time I was that caught off guard.
Except for the one play against the Giants. I mean, that's literally the only terrible play I can think of. Even you talk about he started bad and ended bad. But even the started bad, if we're using that, then Ellis Hobbs.
Then all of them
should
have been cut.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just my point. Not making plays, being off a receiver and allowing completions. C.J. Jones, we joke about, there were reasons he could have been cut.
Yes.
Fumbling the ball away, catching the punt inside the five, those are reasons to be cut.
The fourth quarter of the Ravens game.
Yeah. I can't think of one of those.
He struggled one day against Moss
inside where he kind of got slapped around a little bit. But
well, who does? Well,
see, it might be just the perfect example of what we see as just observers. We really don't know what they should be doing on a given play, you know. Maybe there's just some stuff that he was just in the wrong position. It just happened the ball didn't go his way. But they're watching film and they see this guy not doing what he's supposed to be doing.
But it just doesn't
show up to the layperson.
That's not sort of his reputation either.
I know. He's supposed to be a solid, no
just
mistake
kind of
type
a guy.
Of guy.
Not going to make you the plays. Like, Delph O'Neal has all the interceptions because he's more of an Otis Smith hit or miss kind of guy. Fernando Bryant was supposed to be calm, consistent, in the right plays, will get beat physically on occasion, but isn't going to give up big plays a lot.
Right. So very interesting. Matt Gutierrez, who's surprised?
Yeah. Oh, I am a little bit.
I'm not.
No.
I said it Tuesday. I thought it was a coin flip. I thought it could go either way. So I wouldn't have been surprised either way. If Castle was the guy, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Right.
I thought that we would go with experience in the system.
I was
one of the nay votes. We lost that vote, Fred. I think you and I.
Yeah.
We lost 3-2.
That's right.
I've lost that vote 2 years in a row now when I would have cut Castle.
I thought they would keep Castle because of his experience in the system, but I would not have raised an eyebrow if they went with Gutierrez because he was, you know, bigger upside because he had less, you know.
As expected, Chris Sims did get cut. He's out there, but there's no mention of the Patriots. Do you think there's still a chance the Patriots might bring in a veteran?
Yes.
I wouldn't want Chris Sims.
Where do you take away from what position? Just wipe off the receiver? No, I'm being serious.
I am too.
Yeah.
If and when I need a roster spot, C.J. Jones is eliminated from the roster.
Not Ray Ventrone?
No.
I think Ventrone has a role on special teams.
Yeah.
I think they value that.
And as I just talked about, Ray Ventrone didn't do anything to me egregious to get cut.
Right. Yeah.
C.J. Jones gave
me a reason to cut. He dropped the first pass thrown to him in preseason. From that point on, he was perfect.
And I thought that I didn't think there was going to be a spot for him. That's why I didn't think he'd make the roster. I'm not going to try to be a fraud after the fact and say, oh, I thought he was going to make it. I didn't. I didn't think he would make it, but he does have value as a special teams player. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And Paul, you were very good on EEI yesterday, going play by play in the Super Bowl and reminding people that that tackle on special teams that set up the Giants' first and 10 at the 17 was really a great hit by Ventrone.
That and
people don't remember
that. Teddy Bruschi came in and talked about that. You know, there's a lot of guys that do things that a lot of people don't really understand the value of, like going in and breaking up a wedge and doing stuff like that. Ray Ventrone does things like that.
Thanks for having me. You guys are better than Michael and the other guy.
There you go.
That's for sure.
Michael and the other guy. I love that.
In other words, Matthew Slater is your primary kicker.
That's for sure.
Yes. Yeah, at this point.
And I think he should be.
Well, just so you know, if he's not, C.J. Jones is not next
to
my line.
I think he's one in Ellis Hodges,
I don't think
too.
He did anything more than C.J. Jones. Jones
when
certainly
did Matthew
put the ball.
Slater hand the ball to the other
Fred,
team.
You know what's
he didn't have a chance to because he never got past the 20.
You know what's developing?
Well,
it's a very, very nice little Andy, Matthew Slater, Michael, C.J. Jones riff.
Jones, Slater never got the ball past the 20. He's no chance from the fumble because
he
never got hit. He went down on first contact.
Actually, he did.
Every time.
There was that one
and
time
just
he
so
fielded
you know,
the one at the 20 that
oh,
he
yeah,
got
okay,
to the
35. Oh, yeah, okay, sorry.
I'll take that 100 times out of 100, falling down at the 19 where I start
fumbling
my offensive
is a,
Tom Brady.
Fumbling
I,
is a fluke
I,
play.
I,
fumbles are fluky.
No,
not with C.J. Jones. It's a 1-2 proposition.
Look, I saw enough of Matt Slater to know that if he's the primary kick returner, he's going to break a few.
I agree.
He's got no other role in this team. I can't believe he was kept
safety
as a spot. He does not.
What role on any
safety.
Level does C.J. Jones have?
As depth at safety, Mike, because they don't have.
If he's the
else.
Fourth safety, they're screwed.
Well, they have.
Right.
They have to.
And
have
if C.J. Jones has to play receiver, they're screwed.
Yeah, like I.
But he's the sixth
kind
or seventh guy in the depth.
But I agree
though.
With Michael. I think if they need a fourth safety, it'll be a guy like Lewis Sanders before they're going to.
I would put Ray Ventrone back there.
Matthew Slater
back there.
And by the way, Slater also covers kicks. I haven't seen
right.
C.J. Jones cover
no offense to I have nothing against the guy, but I just don't see it. I didn't see it in preseason.
I think he'll be both a vice guy and a gunner.
Right.
C.J. Jones does nothing except this, and I have a ball in my hand. Oop, I dropped it.
See,
couple of fluke plays.
He also made some spectacular catches.
He did.
This
great
is
going
to be fun to watch with Andy, and Parenti all year. Ding, ding.
The one against the sideline. That was a great catch.
Yeah, the Eagles game.
You want to ring the bell? He made a lot of great plays.
Andy,
yeah, half of them for the
Andy
Slater
makes fun of me.
Half of them for the opposition.
Remember when I didn't remember a Matthew Slater return to like the 45-yard line or
yeah.
something, and Andy's I don't know what you're watching about it. Yeah. Andy goes,
didn't get to the 45.
Andy goes, oh, I don't remember any catches by C.J. Jones on the sideline.
Right.
But that's
the
okay.
The facts speak for themselves.
I really
Jones
don't
made plenty of catches, and Slater never got the ball past the 35.
Oh, I thought it was the 25 minutes ago. Now it's the 35?
Never got
to
hit.
No, I said except
he
for the one
no
he fielded at the 20 that he got to the 35.
Zero.
I guarantee you, I'm with Fred. He will score.
Fred's got it memorized. The
38. He will
C.J.
score.
Jones guy too, huh?
If he gets 30 returns, he'll score.
He may score in his SATs. He's not scoring on a football field. That's
see, Mike, I think you're wrong there.
I just can't believe you're hitching
your wagon to C.J. Jones.
You made your
first PSW mistake.
I'm just not hitching it to a one-dimensional player.
I could even see if this became a Matthew Slater, Ray Ventrone type argument. But
this is a great
you lose
PFW.
That one, too, because Ventrone is a clearly
this is only
player.
On PFW in progress. You get this kind of analysis.
Right.
Of the
seventh receiver and the kick returner.
How is Slater a one-dimensional player?
Right.
He returns kicks.
He and covers kicks.
And covers kicks.
And is a vice guy.
He's a vice guy.
And is emergency depth at safety.
Can I play devil's advocate here?
Yes.
What does C.J. Jones do besides return kicks?
A receiver.
And by
really?
The way, wait. And by the way, a position like safety that has two players and a position at receiver that has three,
mm-hmm.
they're basically the same guy. They're an emergency guy well down the line.
It's fine.
It's just the fact that
who had a better
quicker at receiver.
Will either of them be active on game day anyway?
Matthew Slater will be active. C.J. Jones will lucky to be
That's
active.
That's a good point.
Slater will, and they'll start every drive from the 21.
Well, I don't know, Mike.
Although
Josh
I cannot freaking wait.
Josh from Varlington.
I cannot wait till week
bleeping one. Josh from Arlington says it's nice to hear someone call Andy out for making stupid claims like the one about Delta O'Neill not ever being a starter. Keep it up, Mike. You'll be doing Mother Teresa-like work if you keep up.
I didn't say he was never a starter.
All the BS coming out of
in
Andy's
years,
mouth.
Which was false.
I was obviously
But he didn't say
this is your claims about Matthew
He said
Slater.
He hadn't been a starter in a while. And
right.
He exaggerated by
there.
Saying 8 years.
The usual.
Yeah, where's our lunch, Fred?
We're going to go by the facts. John Lynch is a Pro Bowl safety that was cut.
Why in the middle of the show you can have lunch, and we have to sit here without lunch?
No, because you guys were foolish enough not to bring in your own.
I didn't have room in my pocket for a carrot.
Where's our lunch, Fred?
I don't know. No one stepped up today. You know?
Yeah, I think it's Two Gender that dropped the ball.
I
here.
Thought we had
Did
someone it? On
guys
there.
Offer
I don't
last
even see
week
him.
To buy lunch, and Two Gender goes, "Oh, we don't have a show Thursday, so I'm going to take the rest of the week off." He's not here today.
Where is
Useless.
He?
Useless.
Where is he?
I don't know.
Two gender in. Boobs on a bull.
Uh-oh.
Useless.
All right. Well, okay. Other cuts around the league. Eugene Wilson, not a surprise. Roosevelt Coleman, not a surprise.
You're not surprised that Roosevelt Coleman got cut?
No.
I'm not really surprised Eugene Wilson because his career has been going in the wrong direction.
I was actually
for
the opposite on those
seasons.
Two guys. I mean, I think Wilson, you're absolutely right, but I thought.
He's been on Chutes and Ladders.
When
and
we were there,
he
was starting as the nickelback, so I was a little surprised.
You
Colvin,
surprised
I thought.
Colvin?
No, because I thought it was an injury thing here, or he would have been back here, in my opinion.
I'm more surprised
and I think that they
Houston
felt that he was done
years.
Because of injuries.
That's my biggest surprise. What that Houston think? Gave him a 3-year deal. And I don't know what bonus money they gave him, but they had to give him something. Yeah.
Clearly not much, though. They wouldn't have cut him.
Right.
No, but it's just surprising that
I
they
just
were
didn't think he stunk last year.
I didn't
he
think
got
he
hurt.
Did either, but he got hurt, and I felt like the Patriots would have done something to get him back or keep him in some way if they felt like he was okay physically. And I think that it had more to do with his with physical than his play. Because I agree with Andy. I thought he was okay.
He's
last
never
year.
Been the guy that was signed, but,
no. but, he, but
just
he
in terms of like your fourth, fifth linebacker or whatever, just to play. I always thought he was just decent, not great, just decent.
Yeah, he was brought in here to be great,
right?
And he wasn't
certainly
great.
Never lived up to that.
We just want to be great.
What are we, all Gerard Mayo now?
Anything else about the cuts that you want to bring up, guys?
Freddie, I got a question for
Freddie.
You.
Dan Connolly
beat out jerk John Wellborn for a roster spot.
That
I
should
like
make
it.
You happy.
Is it okay now Andy's that he calls him today. Jerk John Wellborn?
Now it's okay.
Not, now he's not a
now
Patriot.
It's okay.
He was always a jerk. But, Fred, we think of the Patriots as arguably the best team in football, right?
Right.
Actually, with you, I don't
know. No argument.
No, there's no argument.
We think of the Patriots as the best team in football. A surefire Super Bowl
Fred
contender.
Fred only picked them to go 12-4, Andy.
And yet, when they cut to their 53-man roster, they put out claims for at least four players elsewhere, right? So are they not as talented and as deep as we think they are?
They must not think that.
Just roster shuffling, Andy.
You know, they
combination
always,
of roster forces.
They must feel that there's guys out there that can improve their team.
Yeah, but guys who couldn't make the Rams and the Jets and the Browns and the, or whatever.
Panthers, but then this happened last year with, who was it, Jonathan Smith, or was that 2 years ago?
I thought the whole Patriot model was not having as many stars. We're deeper 1-53 than other teams
are.
Even
in fairness, you're talking about the bottom five guys in the roster. A lot of teams go through
that.
I
think that's included in the 1-53.
I know, but Andy, you take, at the end of the, whether it's the draft or signing street free agents after the draft, you're taking, you know, you're going out there and competing with all these other teams. It's not like the Patriots had the pick of any guy they want. So I'm sure there's guys that other guys, teams picked up that they would have rather had than maybe
so
those
coaches are dumb.
No, they're not dumb. It's just other teams.
It's
yeah,
system,
exactly.
So. Some guys aren't good fits in some places.
And so now you have a chance to upgrade a little bit, and so you do it.
I also think
I feel like every year we overrate
too.
The depth of this roster. Every year we say, going to be some tough cuts at 53, and all these guys get whacked, and I go, oh, well,
but that
cleared
doesn't
waivers.
Mean they're not
he
tough
didn't
cuts
get signed. It's week 17,
though.
And he's still on the street.
But it's also
tough cuts.
Every team
I
does
think
this.
Still tough cuts.
Every team does this at this point.
Yeah, it's every team.
Every team makes a cut. Every
but every team's not supposed to be the best in football.
I mean, you look at the defensive line, for example. I mean, there was no doubt about that. You know, not every team can have the depth at defensive line that the Patriots have. That's usually one of the toughest places to create depth. You know, and that was the foregone conclusion.
And I think some of the out of the waiver claims they had, were three of them offensive linemen? I know two were, at least.
Yeah, right. And there were two tight ends.
It was only two?
LeVoir, I think, guy.
The guy they got is a tackle, LeVoir.
LeVoir.
I'm thinking
out
of DeVry.
LeVoir
is how that's not a waiver
according
claim.
According to the press
so.
Release. What?
No, I was incorrect about DeVry. He was brought back for the practice squad. He wasn't a waiver claim because
right.
he was released and then brought back.
Right.
So I think you're right. There might have been three offensive linemen claimed.
Jacob Bender was
Jacob
an offensive
Bender.
Lineman.
Yep.
And I thought I thought they claimed somebody else, but
Bender's
didn't get
on the practice squad, isn't he?
Was he on the practice squad?
He's not on the roster.
No, no.
But that's the guy that they
squad.
Signed for the practice squad. But
yeah.
But then they put a claim.
LeVoir is on the roster. Bender's on the practice squad. They did
okay.
put in a claim
right.
for somebody else.
Okay. So maybe they – I'm mixing up the guys, the individuals. But I thought it was three offensive linemen they put claims. I would have thought that some of that had to do with their tenuous kind of health situation in the immediate. And, you know, I think maybe it's when all is said and done halfway through the season, I don't think – these guys might be footnotes in Patriot history
right.
that – we never saw them play, and we never heard from them again. But right now, with Stephen Neal's situation, with possibly Hochstein and Yates kind of coming off injuries, they want to make sure they're okay. Maybe they just wanted a couple of extra bodies in there, and they'd rather go with the young guys that they might develop rather than old guys like Flynn and Wellborn, who they, you know, they're either going to play now or they're not going to play at all. just a thought. Maybe it's just kind of circumstantial in the present, whereas when everybody's healthy, they're not going to need any of those guys, and they'll move on.
Speaking of the offensive line, with Neil,
I don't. I think they've been the best team in football for 7 years.
With Neil on the PUP, O'Callaghan out
of the top,
are we worried about this offensive line going into this season?
No,
no. Andy says no.
I mean, really, only got one backup tackle.
Only one guy.
I'm a little concerned. I'm a little. I mean, it's not a major worry.
Do we know the health of Hochstein?
He practiced.
He was practicing. So, but if he doesn't play, you only have one backup tackle.
But would he be a guard instead of Yates?
Starting?
Starting.
No, I think Yates is the one that's
the starter.
They don't have any tackles, though, right?
No, they
do only have three tackles, right? Casual, Light, and
LaVoyer.
Oh, he's a tackle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But I don't believe he's ever played in the game.
Assuming he's active Sunday.
Well, he won't be active Sunday.
No. I'm just saying.
So, in other words, you only have one backup tackle.
But that's all you go into a game with anyway.
Yeah, you're only going to have one tackle in the game.
I'm just saying, you have another guy you can move over there. You have to be able to have some more flexibility, which they don't really have at the present moment because of the.
Well, if they need a third, I mean, if Britt goes in and someone else gets hurt, well, then now they're just scrambling no matter what.
You could
have Jonathan Ogden on the bench.
Mankins probably plays tackle. But they wouldn't go into a game with more than three tackles on the 45. Unless they had someone that they knew was hurt going in. And
or unless the guy is also your backup
tight
end.
Can play guard or something like that.
You just can't have enough.
Like last year they had O'Callaghan and Britt active behind Casual and Light, but they played tight end.
Right.
So they had to.
Jonathan Wilhite makes the team. Mm-hmm. How do you think his preseason was? Do you think he's going to be an impact player this year?
Well, he was hurt for a lot of it, so we didn't really get to see as much of him as we would have liked. I didn't see anything spectacular out of him, but again, I didn't see anything. I think he performed well enough to deserve at least practice squad.
Was not embarrassing.
Yeah, he wasn't embarrassing. He held his own better than I expected, better than a lot of people when he was drafted expected. So I'm okay with him.
Were you surprised that Antoine Spahn
got
cut? I know he's on the practice squad now, but he looked like he contributed during camp.
Yeah, in practice.
In practice. Unfortunately, he had to play in four preseason games and did not play well.
I think he might have been the biggest contrast in practice play to gameplay. He was great, I thought, almost every single day in training camp practice. Didn't show up in the game.
A lot of ebbs and flows with that guy. A lot of peaks and valleys because we were so high on him at the beginning.
I liked him.
And then when the games came, then we went downhill again. So.
Are you surprised by Spock getting cut at all?
No.
No, they got DeVries.
No, they don't. He's on the practice squad. They got the guy from the Jets who sounds like he's a more versatile player.
Do you think it was an injury thing with Spock? Because he had missed some time.
Well,
he came back
practice
a little bit.
I think Steven Spock is Steven Spock.
What did you mean by more versatile?
It sounds
blocker
like
and
blocker, can catch a little bit, does a lot at like fullback, played a little fullback.
He's a kid out of Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Posiak.
And I think
it's
Steven
name,
Spock is
it's
what
not
he is.
Spelled anything the way
whoever
well, there's an S in there
that's
silent. I don't like silent S's.
That S, I mean, it's one thing to have the Z in the middle there. You know, a lot of Polish names have that kind of.
It's got a silent S.
But there's an S at the end, like it should be ask.
Right.
And it's just Posiak.
But
they just throw away that last S for saving.
I mean, he's a fifth round pick. I think he's a guy that they think could be a developmental guy that could be here for 5 years as a versatile second or third tight end.
And it's his third year in the league?
Yeah, he was on IR for 1 year. And
Jets?
Yeah, didn't play much another
year. That third tight end's not going to catch more than seven passes this year anyway.
Unless it was Jonathan Stupar, and then he was going to have a great year, according to your Pulse
He
story.
Got picked up by someone's, for someone's practice squad.
Bills.
He was only simply quoted in the Pulse story. There was no further elaboration.
When
the other tight ends don't feel like talking that week and have other issues, that's what happens. You get Jonathan Stupar.
Speaking of issues.
Okay?
All right, it's 12:31. That means we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the health of Tom Brady and Wes Welker.
Listeners all over the world are discovering PFW in progress.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is this?
Patriots.com Radio.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and there is it! 1-0 Rams! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Rams have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
July 26, 2008. Classic Kirsch, part deux. Sporting his fashionable new navy blue and red Patriots training camp cap, Fred, sitting in the row directly behind me, leans over and says, "Eric, I was just thinking, this hat is really stiff." He takes the cap off, realizing he left the cardboard filler in the front of the hat. Fred removes the cardboard and tosses it on a nearby table, laughing. He follows up with, "Actually, I kind of liked it with the cardboard in there. I might put it back in. Is this the man?"
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right. That'll be the end of that segment. Before we left, I kind of teased, and Paul congratulated me for teasing
it.
Very
well done.
Everyone's concerned about the health of Tom Brady and, I guess, Wes Welker. What updates do we have? I know that Brady was on the radio saying if it's up to him, there's no doubt he'll play. But is it up to him?
No,
it's not.
But there's no doubt he'll play.
Are you concerned about this at all?
No.
Not about whether or not he'll play. Are you concerned that there is an injury?
Yeah, well, I think
it's 100%
that
he'll play.
Unless this is a masterful charade and, again, smokescreen put up by the Patriots.
Would you benefit from that? What's the positive of putting on a
charade? There really isn't, because if you're another team, you're preparing for Tom Brady.
And Tom Brady only.
And it's not like if Matt Cassel comes out, you have to worry because he's such a different type of quarterback.
Right, I was going to say, he's not Michael
on the
Vick
injury
coming
report six consecutive years. Nobody is concerned about him not playing.
So I guess there's no advantage about a team not knowing if Tom
Brady
is going to play.
The only problem for the opposition, if any Patriot backup
irrelevant.
Comes in, The only worry for the opposition is to stay focused and not be too excited about the fact that Brady's not on the field. I don't care who it is.
I agree.
Cassel, Gutierrez, O'Connell, Vinny Testaverde, whoever comes in, just make sure you maintain your pulse and you you can stop the offense.
My point is, he's been on the injury report and he's been probable for 7 years. No one's fooled by this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
They know he's going to play.
I'm not concerned that whether or not he'll play, but to me, it's not about playing. It's about playing to the level of the best quarterback in football.
Right.
And I'm a little concerned about that.
You, Paul's concerned?
A little bit, just like I was in the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you why I would be concerned is the fact that he was told specifically to not be on the sidelines for preseason games as part of a medical issue that it wouldn't be good to be on his feet for 3 or 4 hours watching from the sideline.
I'll tell you what, I'm so confident they're going to win. If they lose, I'll let you shave it.
I think that's a big issue, but...
Which they would have if the defense had come up
with
it.
It makes you pause for a second, doesn't it, to think, wow, they really didn't want him out there because... That would hurt.
Well, I mean, I've had a deep bone bruise on my heel, and it's really annoying and it's painful.
That's
and it takes
bone bruise.
it takes a long time to get better before you can put full weight on it. So if that's what it is, well, I can see why you'd want to stay off.
And it's also precautionary. It clearly does them no good to be on the sideline. And anytime you have a bruise, it involves blood, and if it's in the foot, it could, you know, it's flowing down naturally on your feet. You know, the same reason they don't bring players on the plane a lot. You know, it wouldn't be any benefit to him to travel and sit on the plane and all that crap. But it's just like, you know, 3% of me says, well, that's got to be a little concerning.
And that's how I feel. I mean, the fact that he practiced as much as he has over the past, whatever, 3 weeks, and he's been out there more often than not, at least in the media portion of the practices that you guys have been out to. So that, to me, tells me it's probably not a huge deal.
It's probably not, because if these same doctors are saying, you know, stay off your feet during games, they'd be saying stay off your feet during practice.
And also, Fred, interesting is that he answered those questions one way for WEEI yesterday and said it was an injury thing. He, like, Michael Felger asked him point on, was it an injury thing? And he said, yeah. And then he was asked about it in the press conference and answered it very differently and less definitively that it was an injury thing and all these different things.
It's almost like he was talking
to almost like he talked to somebody maybe named Bill Belichick in between the two interviews and was not happy with the way he handled one thing, because at one point Brady actually joked about, you don't know how many times I've been yelled at, he said, for giving percentages on things, but it's possible he was yelled at 20 minutes before coming out and changed his tune a little bit on how he handled them. I don't think it's a huge issue, but for him to be limited in any way before the season even starts with Matt Light as his left tackle, you know, that's not a good thing.
And we saw what happened when he had a foot injury and played with it.
They
he
lost.
He wasn't the same. He wasn't the same player.
They lost.
Quickly,
he wasn't the same player.
Quickly, before we get to Dan in Delaware on the phone, Wes Welker. Any updates on Wes Welker?
He's fine.
He's fine. He's been practicing. And I think he stopped short of saying that he would play for absolutely certain. But
ask Bill.
Certainly seems like he's planning on being out there.
Which is good since they have no depth at receiver. It's amazing you can have 8 bodies you keep and have no depth.
They went from having one of the deepest wide receiver cores in football last year to suddenly being rather thin, top heavy.
Who is going to emerge as that fourth receiver? You got Gaffney, Welker.
I thought you were going to a phone call instead of asking new questions.
You got Gaffney,
Kelly Washington.
Kelly Washington will be the fourth. And that could be a good thing.
Yeah. Kelly Washington's going to get the opportunity first.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure he's the guy.
He might.
I think he ends up with the fourth most receptions among the wide receivers.
He might do well.
With one?
If he gets one, he'll be better than last year.
Didn't I say a long time ago that Kelly Washington would have more receptions than somebody else that was a clear starter.
Chad Jackson?
Than Chad Jackson.
I think it might have been Chad Jackson.
That's right. That's right.
Why would you have said that?
I think he did say that, actually.
That's
right. I remember this now.
Thank you,
argument got started
Find
somewhere.
Find that, Gary.
Thank
I'll
you,
give
Eric.
Give me a buck.
If Washington's fourth among receivers, he would
Eric,
be
you remember that, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Dan in Delaware on the phone. Dan, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Good.
I tell you what, I'm really hoping that Tom's going to play. Somehow I picked up him and Moss and the Patriots defense on my fantasy team.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Well, I also got Benjamin Watson.
2 out of 4 ain't bad.
2 out of 4 ain't bad.
Yeah, he's on the bench.
Your percentage is dropping.
Well, this might be the year he
Much
breaks
like the
out.
Passes that are thrown to
all signs point to tight end explosion.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Lynch. I've heard some rumors, one in writing and one on the NFL Network, that this is all about some kind of salary thing, and he's coming back in a week. I don't put any stock in that, but I wonder if you guys heard that rumor. And
I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's just putting together the pieces.
If it was, I don't see why Lynch would be so glowing in his words about the Patriots, because obviously if it's because of that, he's going to make less money, right?
No.
No?
He's just not guaranteed to make the money.
Right.
The way it works.
In other words, it's not good for John Lynch.
Yeah.
Right, but it's not guaranteed that it's less money. If he comes and plays the next 16 weeks, the next 15 games
he
after
he could possibly
that,
make more.
He basically is going to make the same money. But the problem is, if he's on the roster, he's guaranteed all that money.
Right.
But Bill shot that theory down. Now, I know, you know, you got to take whatever Bill says with a grain of salt in the way he says it, but he said none of the decisions they made were
financial.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the definite line of thinking. The perception around here, Dan, is that that's what's going to happen. Everybody read the press release when they released Lynch. They had quotes from both Belichick and Lynch, both kind of hinting at a possible return. And everybody kind of put two and two together, as Andy said, and said, well, maybe this was just to get him off the roster for week one. Doesn't, as a vested veteran, his contract would therefore not be guaranteed for the season, and they'll go from there. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see what Bill thinks.
But he is still free.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, he can go anywhere he wants right now.
He's a free agent who could sign anywhere he wants.
Aren't the Jets close to a deal, apparently?
I have no idea.
I've read some reports that the Jets are close to something.
I agree.
So
Andy and I have been on this bandwagon. If the Jets signed him, I think that's a great thing for the Patriots.
I couldn't care less.
If the Jets sign him and play him, even C.J. Jones might score that week.
Maybe Bill Belichick, maybe this is a master plan to have him go with the Jets and be a double agent.
Ooh.
Now, you know, I saw him in preseason. You guys have been pretty hard on him with his preseason play. I thought he was pretty good as long as he was in the box sniffing around the line. But outside and in coverage, I didn't think he was doing that great.
Yeah. Well, I think we all saw the same thing.
Even Fred.
Yep.
When Fred thinks a guy stinks, that guy really stinks. Yeah. Assuming he wears a Patriots uniform.
So what about that Raven Trone, huh?
How about him? You going to buy a jersey?
Good for Ray Ventrone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm happy for him. I was really surprised. And Belichick had some glowing things to say about him on WEI also.
Not many guys have passed through that locker room that have been better people than Ray Ventrone.
Really?
And it worked out, I think, the way we talked about it. You wanted to do everything you could to put Ray Ventrone on the roster, and a guy like Chad Jackson, you couldn't really find a good reason to put him on the roster other than he's Chad Jackson. He was a second-round pick. He's got some physical tools. And it sort of played out based on both those things, the way you read it.
Yep.
All right, guys, I'm going to get back to work. I'm looking forward to hearing the podcast, but I'm going to get off here before I get blown up again.
All right, okay. Dan in Delaware.
We'll have to wait and see a week and see if the rumors that Dan was wondering about are going to be accurate.
Speaking of Delaware, Eric, Lynch. How's it going?
Come on, Fred.
Still a state.
It's over. Is it over?
So we've been through this a million times.
We have
times.
Been through this. Now you're just being
now
mean.
You're really being mean about it.
Okay, I'm just...
You're being mean about
it's
it.
It's over.
I mean,
we've touched.
You want to call Heath Ledger's mom and ask if he's still dead?
Oh, no. Robin Warrington, Virginia, writes in a couple things. He says the fact that the John Lynch jerseys are still $74.99 at the pro shop means, of course, he's coming back.
The shelves are stocked.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what they make their football decisions based on.
Irrelevant
jersey sales.
Fake jerseys cost you $75 now?
Yeah,
the replicas are. Not crazy.
Oh, is that the word replica, not fake?
They've always been 75.
Yeah, it's replica.
No.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
And authentic's going to cost you $3 bills.
Well,
yeah,
I know.
Exactly.
Well, authentic's went up like $50.
But I see no reason to ever not buy an authentic then if it costs you that much for a replica.
$300
for a close enough.
I thought a replica was like $20.
No.
I did.
The t-shirt's not even $20 there. How the hell is a replica jersey going to be $20?
Wow.
You can't even get a sock for $20 there.
Which is good, because if I bought
towel.
A sock for $20, and you know, do as I do with it.
Great.
Rob also says it's been a few months since he's been able to listen to the show live. He's home painting his basement, Patriot red, blue, and gray. And he says, really? So
too many jokes there.
His mother may not like that, though.
Yeah. Bob, I don't think any of us weren't believing you.
I'm a little surprised the Pats never brought back David Givens for a tryout. Is he that hurt?
Yes.
Yes.
He's taking a year away from the game, at least.
Boy, injury problem. Why not
microfracture Hank, surgery on his knee.
Why not Hank Poteet? He knows the system instead of Delta O'Neal.
Sucks.
Hank Poteet.
Much as I'm Hank down on Delta O'Neal, I think he has more talent than Hank get beat.
Delta O'Neal is at least an established player in the league. He's started, gone to a couple of Pro Bowls, and 31 career picks.
That being said, I wouldn't eliminate the idea that if one guy goes down, Hank Poteet couldn't come here and play.
Yeah, if a nickelback goes down, not a starting corner.
Right. Yeah, injuries.
Jeff in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. I was wondering what makes a player ineligible for the practice squad. Also, I was watching the CFL last night, and who did I see make a catch? Bethel Johnson. Given how most early-round wide receiver draft picks the Pats have taken in the Belichick era have not worked out, do you think they'll do it again?
Do what again?
Take another
receiver? I think they've taken three, right?
And they went two for.
Well, I mean,
they went
one. Deion Branch worked. Yeah.
Deion Branch was great, and Bethel Johnson and Chad Jackson didn't work out.
Right.
But I think those are the only three. They were all in the second round.
I was going to say, I think the question is more second round picks than positional.
Oh, they've gotten some value out of the lower round picks like David Givens. Yeah. So it kind of evens out.
They haven't taken a ton of receivers in the draft overall.
PK Sam
was another one. That was a later. That was like that was like fifth of fifth sixth.
Poorly
round.
Conditioned Sam.
I like that. I like
First
that,
time you heard that, Fred?
Good. It is.
Oh, okay. Don't get around much, do you?
Practice squad eligibility. There are some different rules, and they're kind of complicated. But basically, you can be on the practice squad. If you're not on the active roster ever, you can actually spend three full years on a practice squad. But if you spend more than 6 weeks on an active roster or play more than six games.
Something like that.
Then that makes you ineligible for the practice squad, right. You know, even if you haven't spent any time on the practice squad.
I also think they tweak the rules every year because just when I think I know the answers.
They're very complicated. I'd have to look it up on the updated CBA. But basically your rule of thumb is if a guy has not spent enough time on an active roster, then he's eligible for the practice squad.
Right.
All right. Dave from the Philippines writes in.
Dave and the Peens.
Long time no call or email, but I've been listening pretty regularly, except for the first month after the game that shall not be named, as I was almost hospitalized for shock and psychiatric trauma.
They have hospitals, the Peens?
Of course, with the end of the preseason and the final cuts, there's a lot to talk about. First, I don't understand why they kept Castle instead of Goots for backup. From what I was able to tell, Castle showed no ability to move the team and score at all, and he's in the final year of his contract. Wouldn't it have made more sense to keep the younger QB, especially given that Castle doesn't even have any college experience to fall back on? Mind you, I think the rookie has more potential than either of them. Still, I don't feel good about our backup situation at all. If Tom gets injured, we've got problems. Given the situation with the O-line this year, I worry about that happening a lot.
Well, the O-line is no worse than it's ever been, and he's never missed a start.
Next, what do you guys think about Delta O'Neal? Is he still a good quality corner like he was a few years ago? Why was he cut from his old team? Is he better than Ty Law today or just cheaper? At least he's been in a camp this year, so he's probably much more ready to go than Ty would be at this point.
Well, that's probably accurate. Yeah.
And the only thing is the reports about Law, you got to take these with a grain of salt because they've come from Ty, but he evidently went through his normal offseason with Bob Kersey.
Yep.
And if that's the case, then I don't have really much worry. If he actually did that, I don't have much worry that he'd be ready to go.
Although I hear he's in his house in Miami, and they're going to have to enlarge the doorway to get him out.
evidently, Fred not expecting them to sign Ty Law.
Freddie, it's Delta.
Delta.
There's a TH. Yes,
there is a TH in there.
It's not like finally, the S in Posiak.
Finally, I thought Chad Jackson was finally starting to come around the last two preseason games, and then he gets cut late. He's cleared waivers. Do you think he could come back? Is he eligible for the practice squad?
He's not eligible for the practice squad.
No.
And I do think he could come back. I don't think he's going to, but I don't think he did anything like
they didn't cut him
burn the bridge bad.
To bring him back, you know, in terms of money or anything like that. You know.
But he didn't. It's not like he slapped Bill in the face out on the way out the door.
No real hard feelings. He just didn't work out.
I wouldn't expect him to be back.
If they need him, they could bring him back.
I would not expect him to be back.
It's not Terry Glenn. He didn't burn any bridges.
You know, his agent was quoted, I think, as saying it's
his agent was quoted. You don't say.
One of those typical change of scenery kind of things that you know, it didn't strike me as there was any talks like, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, you go through waivers and, you know, we might revisit it down. Didn't sound like they had
change
any of those
scenery?
Kinds of conversations. Yeah, that's what Cantor said.
No, I know, but for a change of scenery, you need to land in a new team.
Right.
No one picked you up, and my guess is his contract didn't call for any money. So anyone that wanted him at basically veteran minimum type money could have signed him.
It's crazy to think, though. A second-round pick.
He stinks.
Nobody wanted. 32 teams didn't want the guy. That's incredible.
He hasn't even landed in Canada yet.
If you put him down,
teams.
You put him down and you slap Ray Ventrone next to him, how many coaches do you think would say, I'll go with Ventrone?
Having not seen anything?
Having not seen him play a play.
Oh, not a single one.
There's not a coach at any level that would not take Chad Jackson
over. Maybe Adolph Rupp. Wasn't he racist?
Yes.
Coached basketball, too.
Well, I'm just saying he was racist.
But that's, I mean, it's amazing to me how fast and how far he has fallen. Mm.
And a lot of it, he missed time with an ACL, which is, like, that shouldn't even count against him. So you take that out, it's like, barely over a year he played himself out of town.
But I think they probably look at it, and again, this is just our opinion from afar, and we don't have anybody telling us this stuff. But if he was going out there and dropping a lot of passes, or you know, didn't seem like he was willing to do any of the work, or not in good shape, or stuff, we haven't seen any of that. What we've seen, what we think we've seen, is him not where he's supposed to be. And we've seen the quarterbacks making gestures to him constantly, you know, with their hands in, out, you know. When you're not running the routes, maybe they just look at it, Andy, and say, well, I don't care if you had a torn ACL and you're not up to speed. But right. You should have spent that year making sure you knew what you were supposed to be doing. And evidently, 3 years in, he still doesn't.
Well, and in the beginning of camp, too, he was having up and down days where he'd make some great catches, and then other days the ball would just, you know, catchable balls would fall flat.
His hands are overrated.
Yeah.
I think everybody watched that stupid drill with the jugs machine where he looked great one day.
But my point is he didn't get cut because he was having inconsistencies catching the football.
No.
Would you agree?
I'd be more route running than pass catching.
Mental.
But he also didn't.
Paris's reputation is pretty bad around the league.
It's a little bit of both
at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think it had anything to do with it.
He never showed good hands. He never showed good route running. He never showed great speed.
He didn't show awful hands, though.
He didn't even I agree with Eric in camp. His hands were average at best.
Yeah.
And he didn't drop the ball like your boy.
And when he got the chance to return punts, he wasn't really doing that.
He didn't make any play. I mean, he had the one play that he made on the fade route against Philadelphia. The second touchdown, any receiver anywhere is going to catch that ball.
Yeah. O'Connell put it right in the backup QB of the future.
Exactly. Yeah. O'Connell put that right where it had to be, and he made that play. The first one on the fade to against Philly, that was the kind of play that we thought he would be able to make. But that was the only one I could even think of.
From him.
You'd have to go all the way back to his very first game to find the previous play that he made, which was that deep slant against the Jets.
Mm-hmm. And that's if the we problem. Look, like Sam Aiken, in my mind, had a better camp catching the ball than Chad Jackson.
God, yes.
So, and he plays special teams. So.
But my point is, I don't think that Chad Jackson got cut because he was dropping a lot of passes, because I don't think that was the case. And now Aiken caught everything. But Chad Jackson, yeah, he dropped some passes, but I don't think that he got cut because of that. He got cut because he wasn't doing the mental side. I agree with Fred. He wasn't mentally where he was supposed to be.
He got cut because he's never done anything.
Exactly.
Bill wants to know, Eric, if you know what the word chtonic means. C-H-T-O-N-I-C.
The C-H is silent. It's another one of these. That's the theme of the show today. Words with silent. That's
why the C and the H are silent?
The C and the H.
So it's just tonic?
Phonic. Phonic.
So it's not silent.
The C and the H in the beginning.
Say it again. C-H-A-C.
C-H-T-O-N-I-C.
There's another H in there, Fred, I think.
Oh.
Chin and tonic?
Bill says it's spelled right. C-H-T. Oh, you're right. C-H-T-H-O-N-I-C.
Yeah.
So it's phonic?
Phonic, yes.
Hooked on phonics.
It means
PFW in progress certainly isn't.
It means basically like dealing, having to do with the underworld.
Okay,
and it comes from Greek mythology with the gods and goddesses of the underworld.
Very good.
It means having to do with below the earth.
He wants to know.
He gets these emails, right?
He wants to know if you're on a phonic exile in Rook show yet.
People won't like this show.
Seriously,
you'll go up a number of levels in my mind if you admit that you had seen that email and looked up the word.
I mean, were you really falling for that crap?
I did.
These emails.
I fell for it, and I get the emails.
I could have played the same stupid game.
The difference between Eric and I get the emails. I just don't read them.
So you didn't look it up?
No.
Yes, he did.
No, just admit it. Admit it. You'll go up so much. I can't believe you're not admitting.
Got to tell you though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
But seriously, says Bill, do you think Castle made the team because of his role as the starter on the scout team?
No. I think he made the team because they think he's better and are more comfortable with him as the backup, as he's been for 2 years now.
In my opinion, maybe it was just me, but
it is.
Matt Gutierrez led two scoring drives in the fourth quarter against Philadelphia, right?
Yes.
Other than that, in the entire preseason, I didn't think he did a thing.
No, he didn't do much either.
Matt Castle, admittedly, didn't even do that. But he played early in the game against, you know,
the last game he was four of six.
So what? I thought Castle was fine in Tampa, and I thought he was fine against the Giants.
Right.
I thought he struggled in the very short time against Baltimore and really wasn't very good against Philadelphia.
The only argument for Gutierrez was that he was younger and he might have, if he develops in
the next
year.
That's my point.
Right.
why?
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
that
like,
was
why only, does everybody think this was such
argument.
A robbery? Like, what did Gutierrez? And I liked Gutierrez.
There was no robbery.
But what
no.
did he do that Castle did? I think
people are just frustrated that Castle hasn't developed to this point, and I think they were just ready to.
Well, they need
like
to latch
on
to
O'Connell. Are ready for a change.
Some people.
I think people were ready for
the
a change.
8 million people that are voting for Obama.
O'Connell is the guy.
Right. Yeah. He's got talent.
I think he's going to take the reins from Brady.
Oh yeah.
Take the reins from Brady.
Yeah, in 4 years.
Take them.
Take the reins.
Take
the reins from Brady. Which part of that didn't you understand?
Well, you usually don't have strong
18.
Opinions on this show.
This isn't the number 18. This is very simple. Very simple to understand, even for a
usually you
save
your strong opinions. Oh, no, that's the other show. You don't give.
Well, that's just no. Never mind.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Salt from Orlando says, I was looking at all the roster cuts and found some interesting tidbits. Monty Beisel still plays for Arizona. I thought he was out of the league.
That's funny.
Eugene Wilson was cut from Tampa Bay. Poor Marcus Pollard was cut from Atlanta like a week after being cut from New England.
So John Lynch.
And Roosevelt Colvin was released by Houston. Also, I had to ask, since I know others must be doing it too, another person, what do you think about Hank Poteet and Justin Peel from Miami having any use in New England?
No use for them. Got no use for either one of them.
What do you know about Justin Peel?
Hank Poteet I'll take in mid-October if two guys go down. That's his role in this
world. Talking about right now. Isn't he talking about right now?
Right now, no interest.
Right now, no interest.
But I have him.
I don't have any interest in Poteet. I don't know anything about Justin Peel.
Wasn't he one of the guys that got burnt last year when we played them and beat them?
That was the entire Miami secondary.
Is Justin Peel a defensive back? I didn't even know that.
I don't know who Justin Peel is.
Who the hell is Justin Peel?
I thought he was a tight end.
Who am I thinking of then?
Who knows? I think you made it up, and we're just reaching.
No.
Gary, can you effort that? Justin Peel, P-E-E-L-E.
Who was that safety on the Dolphins last year that got beat all those times?
The white guy?
Cameron Worrell.
Forever immortalized in the CBS scene in a large picture on the
Barack
wall.
Barack Obama.
Oh.
Norman Vincent
Peel? Yes, Fred.
That's what I was thinking of, Cameron Worrell.
So they signed free agents this year. Jason Webster, Fernando Bryant, Victor Hobson, and John Lynch.
Gone.
I'll include Lynch because he's a veteran.
Well, it helps your argument.
Right. And where are they now?
Marcus Pollard.
Marcus Pollard.
Gone.
Boy, shouldn't get excited about veteran free agents this team signs in the future.
I think
they hit on those trades for Moss and Welker.
TG and NJ says, my God, the regular season is here. Or thank God. My humble opinion of the team this season. The old guys are a bit too old, and the young guys are a bit too young.
Wow.
I think they will be taking a step back this year, make the playoffs, not the big game. Of course, that's if Brady stays on the field. So what do you say, O men of football and Eric? Sorry, Eric, it just seems automatic now.
I like it.
Well, I didn't pick him to go to the Super Bowl, so I guess I would agree with this guy.
I picked him to go to the Super Bowl, but that was before I felt the way I do now. They stink.
Strippers wants to know, is anyone else lowering their expectations for the season? He says he is. 10-6 is a reality.
Wow.
No, that schedule.
If they go 10-6 with that schedule, they are not anywhere near as good as any of us think.
They don't deserve a Super Bowl.
Sam wants to know, should they bring in Eugene Wilson?
No.
No.
Nah. I'm the biggest Eugene Wilson fan probably in New England, and I don't think they should bring
him in. He's a stone. Just dropping.
I don't think he works very hard off the field.
Sam also says we're all wrong. Sam Aiken is the fourth receiver, not Kelly Washington.
Could be.
Could be.
You could be right.
I also I have the feeling what I saw in camp is not necessarily what I'm going to see if Sam Aiken plays consistently.
Would be surprised to see him take a rep at wide receiver in the offense.
Well, I could see him taking a rep. I just find it hard to believe the Bills have struggled to find receivers in recent years, and he never found a way to become any sort of a minor impact player there. And now all of a sudden he's just going to be this great receiver here. Because I admit, I was very impressed. He had strong hands in camp.
He caught the ball very well.
He did.
But that's the opposite, actually, of Kelly Washington, who every time I've ever seen him in training camp, I think has below average hands.
Yeah, he did better this year.
I don't think Washington caught the ball very well last year, certainly. This year he did.
This year he did better.
But definitely last year he struggled.
So now we're down to Matthew Slater and Ray Ventrone and C.J. Jones.
I wouldn't even count C.J. Jones. He's not
five career special teamers.
Who?
The five guys you just mentioned.
I think that's being overly polite to C.J. Jones.
No,
calling it a career.
You are absolutely unbelievable. You can't just say that he's a career special teamer, but Matthew Slater is destined to the Hall of Fame.
Not
this is
destined
be
to the Hall of Fame.
This is going to be great to watch.
Well, Devin Hester of the AFC all of a sudden.
Returner.
Well, it won't be
for
all
a couple
year,
years
C.J. Jones.
Yeah, he'll be returning his playbook to Belichick's
office.
This is
going to be great to watch for the next 3 or 4 days until C.J. Jones evidently gets cut.
Right. At least
I'll latch on to somebody
all year.
All right, Gary, it's 101. We need to 102. We have to take a break right away, and we'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas Tree Shops, Off-Broadway Shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriots-place.com for more information, and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
2015, 10-5, touchdown, Patriots.
50 touchdown passes.
Tom Brady.
23 touchdown receptions.
Touchdown, Randy Moss.
75 total touchdowns.
One play, they both set NFL records.
Tom Brady, Randy Moss, and the New England Patriots broke records that may never be broken. Commemorate these accomplishments and more with a free limited edition record-breaking print directly from the New England Patriots. And if you thought setting records was good, how about having your exclusive print signed by Lawrence Maroney?
Oh, baby.
All you need to do is make a qualifying purchase for the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Patriots Extra Points are redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, autographed memorabilia, tickets, merchandise, and more. Log on to PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and free 2007 season print signed by Lawrence Maroney.
He's going to go the distance. 20, 15, 10, 5, Lawrence Maroney.
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph poster limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
July 27, 2008, Judgment Day. Holy crap, it's raining. In case you missed the news, the evening session has been moved inside at the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse. It is coming down in buckets outside. Good thing Paul and I had some lackey drop us off. Fred wasn't so lucky and got soaked. Weather update, now it's raining even harder and the PBA Pro in the Sky is bowling.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
Okay.
For the record, the lackey in question was Gary Gradecki, right? Did a fine job dropping us off right at the door of the field house so we didn't get too wet.
One of the rainiest Augusts that I can recall.
Stormy summer overall, Fred.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Weather talk here. Patriots.com.
Steve from Winchester writes, Jason Webster, Fernando Bryant, Lewis Sanders, Torrey James, Eric Warfield, Ike Charlton, Dwayne Starks. These are veteran corners the Patriots have brought in the past 3 years. Should we expect anything different from Delta O'Neal, a guy who lost his starting role in Denver and Cincinnati?
Not much.
Yeah.
The problem is half these guys are signed past their prime. They're brought in for situational roles only. They're not brought in to be the players they were 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm.
except Fernando Bryan, who was brought except in to be Bryan. A starter and
yes.
wasn't.
No, there are exceptions. I'm just saying the majority of those guys are brought in to
but
play limited roles.
But that's the Belichick
roles.
Way. We talk about it all the time. He often goes after the guys after they were first-round disappointments mm-hmm. or after they get a big contract and are then cut from that contract. That's when he swoops in when their value is low. Buy low, sell high.
Reclamation projects.
But when you keep buying low, sometimes it's just low. It's not going to go high.
Some guys
ever
don't
again.
Get any, well, any better. That's
Mike
right.
Florio, to even go beyond that, Mike Florio on his blog, ProFootballTalk.com, said today that the Patriots drafting Chad Jackson where they did in the second round, actually moving up to get him, showed hubris because other teams in the league had really soured on him. And yet the Patriots said, you know, we're going to make him into a player despite all the reports of his attitude.
I don't agree with that.
That's what Florio was writing.
Don't every person you draft, you think you can
he
make.
Cited a, he cited an example during the Steelers guys. Interview he had. His cell phone went off like four times, and they cut the interview short and said, you know, thanks for coming.
Well, that's fine. But you don't think they drafted any players that no one else liked
I'm
and,
just
and
saying.
It worked out?
I'm just saying. That's what Florio was saying.
My guess is there's also an issue there with Urban Meyer. He must have given a pretty solid recommendation.
Yeah.
Bill has that personal relationship, mm-hmm. so I think there might have been an issue.
Not
there
anymore.
With, well, that's my guess is he's not quite at the, you know, the main table when they get together for those pigskin meals anymore.
Right.
But I don't. You think that's hubris, really? For I mean,
no, that's what Florio said.
Because I mean, if you,
yeah,
if you don't
team,
think you can coach
right.
a guy up,
why,
then what are you in the business him? For, right?
And I why, think yeah. it had to, definitely to do with Urban Meyer, though, in saying, yeah, he's not that bad a kid.
He's
getting a bad rap,
whatever. Yeah.
And Florio writes that as if that is some unprecedented move to trade up and draft a guy that you really like.
Well, in fact, they got a guy that some
they
people think talent-wise was a like top 15 type
pick.
You're
right.
So. You rolled the dice. You lost. It was a bad pick. He was a bust. You can't say it anymore. But to say that it's like it calls into question their decision making and all that. I mean, I just think that's a little far fetched. They hate the Patriots. That national media
and in
Florio's part of it.
In this day of cell phones, you think Chad Jackson's the first player who's been
right.
on a job interview and his cell phone has gone off?
Well,
I mean,
more than
put
once? The damn thing on vibrate. First of all,
feels good.
Matt also says,
really
I'm very
off.
Happy
I'm
for
lie.
Raven Trone, but I'm starting to wonder about all these undrafted free agents. It's nice to see these guys overachieve, but at some point, does the team become weaker when your active roster becomes a little too full of these guys? He mentions C.J. Jones, Raven Trone, Mike Wright, Eric Alexander, Gary Guyton, Pierre Woods.
Not if they play.
Yeah. Also, what does that say for your team's drafting when many of these guys are beating out draft picks?
Well, first of all, that happens in every team. No one picks nine guys in the draft and all nine make the team. And there are always some
right.
surprises along the way.
And
so it balances
all,
out. Doesn't
what do all those guys
out?
Have in common? They likely will never be anything more than, as Mike Parenti would put it, career special teamers.
Yeah.
You draft players, in my mind, until the Matthew Slater era, to play offense, defense.
Yes.
Like, you're looking at them. You're projecting them. Could this guy, you know, I joked about P.K. Sam earlier. They thought they might have a chance to have a steal with P.K. Sam, a receiver who could make, I believe the quote in Holly's book was like a red zone playmaker for the next 10 years or something. Rookie free agents are generally guys who are a little too small or a little too this or a little too that, but are pretty good football players at some level, and I think that's what you get with those. Mike
mm-hmm.
Wright,
yeah.
athletic,
mm-hmm.
big, but not had some injury problems, not worthy of being drafted. He's never going to be a starting defensive lineman. He's a nice special teamer. Gary Guyton.
And a good backup.
He's a good backup, though, too.
Right.
He's
but that's what
teamer.
He is.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's a backup.
That's fine.
If he has to play 8 weeks, you're in trouble.
You're not
if
paying
he plays
him first-round draft pick money. He's an undrafted
right.
free agent. And
but my point
makes,
is you draft guys
is.
To play.
Yeah, exactly.
Rookie free agents are the special
but
teamers.
Do you feel like it evens out if you draft a guy like a Marquise Hill, who doesn't work out for you, but you get a guy like a Mike Wright off the waiver wire?
Mm-hmm. Well,
just
no.
give and take, because I know Hill was projected
Hill.
To be a
Hill was supposed
player.
To be a starting caliber lineman, a developmental stud. And
but
he wasn't.
My point is, if you get somebody who has a role on your 53-man roster for a long period of time, I think you've done okay. If Mike Wright plays here for 5-6 years and has a pretty good role, sort of a Matt Chatham who was here for how long and had a pretty serviceable role for that amount of
right.
time.
You're talking about in the same year, Mike, right?
Well, I know they weren't picked in the same year. I'm just my point
well,
is if
your
the
point
guy
is if it happens in the same year.
If it happens in the same year, yes, but I'm just talking in general terms. If you can bring in a guy and he can play a role for you for 5 or 6 years, that's okay.
Oh, it's irrelevant where you got him if he can play a role for you for 5 or 6 years.
And it doesn't
but just my point is
going to be a dominant
when you draft somebody,
linebacker.
You're drafting the guy's upside, you're
yes.
drafting for an offensive or defensive position when you sign a rookie free agent, you're taking a chance. And a lot of times those chances are he's a football player and he'll fit in. Ray Ventrone is a football player. Mm-hmm. He's a rookie free agent. He ran around. He worked hard in camp. He makes the roster as number 52 or 53.
But I tell you what, though, the Patriots have a tradition of getting at least one rookie free agent
right.
to make the team, to make the 53-man roster every
year. To do
year.
What, though? Play special teams. Because well, they you
well,
know,
some
have
guys,
these
Randall Gay had a pretty
guy.
Big role for a while. I mean, Randall Gay was yeah, thrust Randall into Gay a role one. Because of injury, but he was there for a reason because they thought he could do that if the situation ever
and
arose.
And he knew the system. Yes. He was a big system guy at LSU.
He was an LSU guy, so he obviously had a big role.
Gary Guyton this year has a chance.
Yeah, we'll see where he is. Maybe with injuries, maybe he'll get some more playing time.
But
okay. Paul from London
Eric
says,
ended with a butt. Doesn't he always?
See, I was waiting for you to follow up. I'm surprised it took you that long.
It was a dramatic pause.
Paul from London says about Eric in his fantasy football league. He says, this douchebag didn't turn up for the draft either, but anyway, here is Eric's team.
All wide receivers.
His team is the Pompous Scribes.
Too.
He had the third pick. You didn't show up for your own draft?
No, I was unavailable.
Why?
Yesterday. It was yesterday. I had some other things.
It was yesterday.
I was only available on today.
What were you doing?
I had some things to take care of.
Got to tell you, though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
Like what?
You had a date?
What were you doing?
No, I had.
I was kidding.
No, I just had things I had to do.
Yes,
like what? Fred.
Don't ask about the business,
Fred. Don't ask about the business, Fred.
Oh, come on. What was more important than showing up for your own team's draft?
Lubricants.
Oh. Okay. Now I understand. Anyway, Eric's team is Hasselbeck at QB, Peterson at running back, Jones-Drew also. He's got Maroney, Bolden, Holmes at wide receiver, Cooley as your tight end.
His team's better than mine, I'll tell you that.
That's why I didn't show up for my draft.
You got Graham as your kicker.
You're better off without me.
It's a good team, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too high in your quarterback, but everybody else looks pretty good.
But he's decent.
Yeah.
You got Cincy's defense. That's not good.
No,
that's
I had Dallas's, I believe.
Oh, yes. DST is Dallas. What is
defense special teams?
Cincy DEF.
Defense.
So that's your backup?
I guess
Cincy's
so.
Defense.
Okay.
What's BN mean?
Bench.
Bench.
Oh, bench. So Cincy is your backup.
Backup defense. Okay. Yeah.
You took a backup defense?
No, he didn't take anything.
I didn't take any of them.
If he's not going to take credit for the good, he can't take credit for the bad.
I showed up 15 minutes late for my draft and still had a pretty good showing in the end. So I'm not too disappointed.
We're all thrilled.
Next year, after my 19th birthday, I'm thinking about coming out to Boston to see the Pats for the second time with a friend of mine. What is it like to stay in just before Christmas, as that is when I am planning on coming? How easy is it to get tickets and hotels, as I have only seen the Pats in New York when I was 11? Any help would be good, but I have to wait for the schedule. Lunch will be on me for the week that I stay.
So we didn't get lunch today, but a year and a half from now
but
we
here,
get lunch.
Here's the thing, Paul. Next year, the hotel at Patriot Place will be completed.
Hotel and resort.
And resort. So you should call soon. I think it'll be open this May. So call this May and make your reservations for next year.
Didn't he say he wanted to stay in Boston?
That's close enough.
Well, you can always go with one of those tour groups.
If you rent a car, you can drive into Boston.
There's
fun.
Never any traffic. Don't worry about it. Zip right in and out. It's nothing more
tickets
than an hour and a half
to get.
Each
go
way.
Go right to the ticket window. You're
especially
fine.
At Christmas time.
Yeah. He wants to stay in Boston, Fred. Let him stay in Boston.
Paul also says, did Fred get a Lynch shirt and has he torched it, or is he waiting for the inevitable re-signing after the Chiefs game?
Fred did not buy a Lynch shirt, and he cut ties with Lynch officially.
I still think he was a great player, but he just didn't have it anymore.
What if he comes back in a week or two?
Walter Payton
was a great
player. I'm not signing him.
And he has a lot left in the tank.
Right.
He's got nothing left in the tank.
They figured out how they're going to use him to kind of hide his deficiencies.
Had to get him away for a while.
They figured out how to hide his deficiencies. They asked him to leave the team.
Until he exposed them. Yeah.
let's see. Alejandro from Bogota says, is it true what Paul wrote on the latest Ask PFW? A hungry Andy Hart could outrun Usain Bolt.
Probably. And right now, I could probably outrun Usain Bolt.
He's
dangling
a Twinkie in front of Andy Hart. He could probably outrun
But he has some questions because about the Chiefs. What's the atmosphere like in Arrowhead Stadium?
Very cool.
Unbelievable.
Their day of game presentation is phenomenal.
Yeah. It's the closest thing to a college football game you can get in the pros.
They still have the live band that plays?
Yep.
They got the band. They got the mascot who's like a rat or something, rides around on a four-wheeler.
It's a good time there.
Wrestling
matches. A lot of fan support, a lot of fan involvement.
It's like stepping back into 1960.
Yep. The only thing I don't really like, they got all those dorky signs all the way around. Like every single player has like a sign in front of each section. Like
every stadium almost has that.
The Bucks have that too.
Yeah, they have a lot of that, the Bucks.
And I don't know if it's
kind of
through the charitable foundation. That's probably why I want to ease off calling it, like, stupid. But it is a
little cheesy.
Names. Yeah. It's like here you got, what, Brewski's Corner. There's a couple, but those are legitimate. You know, fans just
you
made
used to have
up.
To have Colvin's Corner.
I guess Colvin's Corner is gone.
Yeah.
Crable's Corner.
Crable's Corner.
Is Carl Peterson a joke? Yes. And why does Herman have a job? Because Carl Peterson is a joke. That's why Herm Edwards has a job. I'm not done yet. All right, somebody's at the door.
Hi, this is George Boyajian. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. Enjoy the Pepsi, fellas.
Glad he clarified that and said it a second time.
George walks around with a cart throughout the state. George is like 80 years old. He walks around the stadium with a cart full of milk and Pepsis and refills everybody's refrigerator.
He does a fine job, and we owe him a big thank you.
Wish I had a refrigerator to refill.
Yeah, only Paul has that.
Yes, that's why he's back.
Typical Paul.
Paul is, by the way, in case you're wondering where he is, he's on the big show now. He has to go. And
he had a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gary squeezed it in because it's referencing Kansas City, and you were talking about Carl Peterson in Kansas City and Arrowhead.
Right? Yes.
It's the Kansas City Shakedown. That's the Kansas City Shakedown. And let me just give you a clue. It involves a porta potty.
Okay.
Let's give this a read.
There's porta potties in the parking lot here at Gillette Stadium, right? So
yeah.
After the game, you could have a City Shakedown here at Gillette Stadium. After they shake down the Chiefs on the field, you can... Shake down your lady
fans.
Friend in the, well.
Oh. This is hilarious.
You
this
need a lady friend. Or for you. I guess a male would do for you. So.
Let's see. Andy from Newton writes in, I was watching the preseason games and was paying attention to the cornerbacks. I was wondering why doesn't the Pats corners play more of an aggressive press coverage off the line? I know that they don't want to get beat deep, but grow some, you know what, for God's sake. They play off 5 to 10 yards, even on third and short. I think it makes it way easy for the opposing offense to march down the field that way. By the way, that kid Wilhite looks good on that only game. He's the only one playing aggressively with the receivers. And I want to hear Acra say cherry pie.
Cherry pie?
Cherry pie.
There you go.
That was one of the knocks on Wilhite, though, being over-aggressive when he came out of Auburn, was that he took too many chances and got beat
I'll
deep
take
a
it.
Lot.
I'll take it.
And he used to try to make...
Over giving up a 10-yard completion.
Three-plus years of Ellis Hobbs of giving a cushion, we're due for somebody who takes
chances.
You know
chances. What? If you don't trust the guy to play aggressively, then he shouldn't be on the team.
Right. And we do not have an answer as to why they continue to give huge cushions. They've been doing it forever, and we don't have an answer.
They're not playing that press corner.
Well, Ellis did one play. I believe it was called the losing play of the Super Bowl.
I mean... The times that they've done it is, you know, those special cases where they brought Harrison up to the line.
And blitz.
And he pressed, and then he passes it off to, you know, the safety that was...
Yeah, assuming the ball does not get out of the quarterback's hands.
Right.
That's what you're hoping for. Because if it does, it's a touchdown.
Stephen Edmonton, I'm glad you guys enjoyed the lunch last Tuesday.
You're the
best. I started
best,
college dude. Last Monday, and I have had a little free time, so I didn't email you, but I wanted to iterate my concerns for the season. One... Who will start at right guard? I don't think Russ Hochstein is a viable right guard.
Billy
he is too pass-oriented in his skill set. So who? Yates? Is Yates a liability?
Yes. Yeah. I love him.
Not for
he's
6 weeks.
He's going to start. 6 weeks is a long time. It's a lot of snaps. How many snaps? That's like 360 snaps. I love Billy Yates. I think he's a good, solid backup. But when you're talking about 6 weeks, to me that's starting to become an extended sample of you can get
well,
exposed.
Now Neil can come back before 6 weeks.
No, he can't.
I thought that was the maximum.
No,
you have to
it's
wait
the
6 weeks.
You have to wait.
That's he is not eligible to do anything for 6 weeks.
And then they have to make a decision on him one way or the other at that point.
Well, then they have 3 weeks, to start practicing him. Once you start practicing him, you have a 21-day window.
So, but
can
they
go
do,
through
they
week
do
12.
Have the bye week in this, so it's really only five games.
Five games, six weeks.
Which is why it's not a big deal to have Yates out there. If you had him out there for a full season, he will kill you. For 5 weeks, it's okay. You can find other ways to block.
All I'm saying is
compensate.
When he and Dan Copen are working with Chris Jenkins, I might not feel so great that he's Billy Yates out there. I mean, that's...
Try not to say all.
Small sample size,
if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Makes you sound like an idiot who's an idiot.
Right.
Two, is our front three going to step it up? Wilfork, Warren, and Seymour seem to be dogging it in the preseason.
Ooh.
I don't know about
it's
dogging
a
it.
Of a
I was
stretch.
Thoroughly disappointed in opening drives where teams were running the ball right down their throat. Yeah. I thought Seymour has had a decent summer after talking about being healthy and all that crap, especially in camp. He was very good in
practice. Very good in camp, in practice.
Not quite as dominant in games.
We didn't see a lot in games. We didn't see a lot from anybody.
But there's little question they're going to lean on those guys to carry their share of the weight because with the secondary questions and a rookie linebacker, they're going to have to step up and play like well-paid first-round picks.
Are we putting too much pressure on our rookies? I know everyone expects Mayo to be like Patrick Willis. Is Wheatley going to play a lot, and will he perform at a high level?
I think he'll start.
He'll play a lot.
Too much pressure on these guys?
Well, if they're going to start, there's a lot of pressure. Yeah, well, Mayo, you expect them to perform like starters.
Mayo, first-round pick, I don't think that's a lot of pressure to ask him
Not
to
only
start.
First round, 10th overall.
10th overall.
You're in the top 10.
Right.
You're expected to come in and play.
Yes. Wheatley, second-round pick, I don't think it's out of the question to say, oh, you're going to at least contribute a lot.
Right.
I don't think it's putting a lot of pressure. I think it's expectation.
That's what they're here for.
Yeah.
That's why they hand you a large paycheck.
Right.
They expect something for that.
Rookie free agent making that? Yeah, that's a lot to expect. But these guys are high draft picks.
Or even Will Height or, to a lesser degree, Crable. The further you get down that, the less I think I should expect out of you. But when you're a first, second-round pick, the expectation is you're going to come in and contribute.
They are who we thought they were.
Holy. Okay. On the phone right now is Jamie in Houston. Jamie, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey,
long time, no talk.
Jamie, where you been?
You getting over the Colvin loss?
Yeah, no, that's we'll get over that quick. I can't listen live anymore, so I'm just kind of calling in blind and just wanted to play catch up. You know, you guys have Dom Capers. Funny about the Houston connection. There hasn't been a whole lot of talk about his influence and presence, and so I wanted to hear about that. And then also talk about Sammy Morris. He hasn't really seen much time in the preseason, and you know, I thought he was the number one guy. He had a better start of the year last year than Maroney, and I think he's been overlooked, and I'm hoping he can make a solid contribution this year. So that's kind of what I wanted to catch up on.
Well, starting with Capers, I've been surprised at how much he has stuck just to the secondary. In practice, everything. He has clearly just been a secondary coach. Obviously, we're not privy to what goes on in coaching meetings and those things behind closed doors. But on the football field, he has had nothing to do with the front seven. He's been on the back end of the defense, just working strictly with the corners and the safeties.
And you know what? Jamie makes a good point, though. That might be a reason that I don't think we considered when we were talking about Fernando Bryan getting cut, Jason Webster getting cut, a lot of these veteran guys that they brought in. Maybe that's some sort of tacit influence that that Capers has brought in, is that maybe he feels like, you know what, I've seen these veteran guys. I don't like what I see out of them. I'd rather work with guys who are new, who will...
He certainly knows Brian. He coached him in Jacksonville, too, so could be.
You know?
And then as far as the other question goes, what was the other question?
Sammy Morris.
Sammy Morris is not as talented as Lawrence Maroney. That's the bottom line there. I know he had a very impressive start to the year last year. Even had players like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Everyone was talking about how pleasantly surprised they were with his production. But he's not a franchise back. He's not a lead back. He doesn't have that talent. He doesn't have the big play ability, any of that.
He's a good spell for Maroney.
Right. He's a journeyman career backup type, and he's going to be in that role here again. And you have to hope that Maroney now finally has that breakout year that we've been expecting the last couple of years and puts together the flashes of talent and makes it more consistent.
And stays healthy.
And
Morris is one of those guys, too. Like, yeah, it's not too... a lesser degree, but a guy who, if you put him out there for 16 weeks and put all the workload on his shoulders, he will kill you.
I actually think another one of those guys is the number three receiver, Jabbar Gaffney.
Yes,
another guy
exactly.
with Houston ties. Yes. I think there's a chance that him forced into the number three role is going to
diminish
his ability to contribute.
Exactly. You overexpose people who don't belong in those roles, and that's what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, thanks, guys. And then I thought I heard you talk about Junior. What's the latest on Junior Watch? Is he coming off of the beach, putting the surfboard up, coming back to work, or what?
We don't have anything as of yet, but I think we all agree that we expect at some point, even if it's in the middle of the year, you will see Junior Seau with the Patriots.
That makes sense. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Keep up the good work, and we'll be keeping in touch.
All right. Thanks, all right. Jamie. Send
all
lunch.
Right. Jamie from Houston. Todd Porter has a couple emails. He says, first, I see a lot of shootouts this year. I think the D will be worse than it was last year, and I think it was overrated last year. But we will still win 12 games. Is the D-line overrated? I want to see more collapsing pockets this year without blitzing. It's Todd, Nova Scotia. P.S. Furry area is a meow.
I agree 100% with the P.S. He's the biggest meow on the planet.
Oh, now, come on.
No, he's one of.
I agree with the take on the defense from last year. I thought it was a bit overrated.
Oh, no question.
But I don't think the D-line's overrated.
I think the Patriots need to get that collapsing pocket without blitzing, or else it's going
to
show the
weakness of the
backfield.
They are expected to control games. Yes. They need to control
games. They need to set the tone and establish their presence defensively.
I want to see the line of scrimmage going backwards.
Yes. Todd also says, poor Paul. Why do the Patriots have all these employees working in their 80s? After Paul's fight last week with the number 18, I think it's time to put him in a home.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
That's actually Paul there. That's not.
Oh, I was rough confused.
Morning.
He's got a tough life.
Paul's on his way with Glenn Ordway on the big show.
He makes
now.
More money in his little side gigs.
Will
he
get? Will
he
get fed at EI? Because we don't get fed.
What the hell are you guys?
I think that might be worth listening to today because they might get into that whole defense. And Paul is the only one on that show that doesn't think the defense was all that great last
year. Yeah, I've heard many battles from him last year on that show, and I've agreed with him 100%.
And they gang up on him.
They do.
But I think he's
right.
All
the homers gang up on him.
That's the biggest homer outlet there is anywhere for the Patriots. I mean, we're the official podcast, but you can't say a bad word about the Patriots on that radio station.
You guys are better than Michael and other guys.
Now, don't you think a lot of the success last year on defense was due to the fact that they were playing with 14, 21-point leads most of the time?
Of course.
Success.
So if that happens again this year.
And it's even more scary that they give up so many points. No one the other team was going to do for three quarters
of
offense.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the scary part. If they're able to put those kind of points up early against teams, won't the defense, despite all the changes and all of the injuries.
I don't think they will this year, though.
You don't think the offense will?
I don't think it's going to be 40-plus a game for 7 weeks. No.
I have a feeling it won't either.
Well,
it's just
a good reason
for that. It's just physically impossible. It does not happen.
They had their special year. That was a special year.
I think starting with that Eagles game, when the Eagles came here and kind of gave them a little trouble, I know the Patriots still scored 32 points in that game, 33 maybe four.
But they had a defensive score.
Yeah, one of them was a defensive score. I think the Patriots stopped putting up these points like they were in the first half of the season.
Well, wasn't the Colt game their first real back-to-earth game in terms of points scored? Weren't they in the 30s and 40s consistently until the Colt game?
Well, that
started
game,
the year with 38, and then like 52 and 40-something.
And the Bills game was an aberration in there, that game. But after, you know, toward the end of the season, points were a little bit tougher to come by, you know?
But even if they get out to a 14-point lead,
that's
going to help the defense
of course
enormously.
It does.
That's right. The final score is less relevant than the initial lead.
Right.
But I'm even saying early. If you can dictate the way the game is played, if you can go up, as you said, 14 points, that's huge. Whether it's the final score could be 28-7, but if you're up 14-0 in the first quarter, you've changed the game.
Mm-hmm. You know, I never really talked about it last year because I wasn't here, obviously, but like I looked at last year's defense, and I always went back to 0-3 because the 0-3 team to me was the best Patriot defense I've ever seen when they had Ted Washington at the nose, and that team would set the pace defensively. That team would establish its presence.
And
I never thought last year's team did that.
And they'd win dominating games like 9-3.
Right, and you knew even down 6, the other team had no chance to win a score.
No question.
And you never felt that way last year. Now, it's a little unfair to compare a team to its best defensive year ever.
Right.
I compare it to the rest of the league. But even in that context, to me, they weren't a top 10 defense.
Last year they were average.
Not even a top 15 defense to me. But that's
points
my point.
Allowed, they were number 4 or number 2.
Points allowed again.
Actually. But, you know,
it's still deceiving based on what the offense did.
That's right.
You see, my point is, look back at 0-3 and how they would set the tone defensively at the start of games.
Yeah, they're not at that level.
They're not at that level.
Bill Belichick has now changed his mind and decided to agree with Andy Hart. And you notice against the Giants, what did they do when they won the coin toss? They took the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because this team, if they win
during
the regular season, should, well, I'm assuming, you know, when Brady's back, they'll actually move the ball on offense. This team should take the ball, score points, and give their defense a lead.
Yeah.
I don't care what all the mathematicians tell me about doubling up your possessions to end the first half, open the second, and getting. I want to be up 14-0 with, you know, 6 minutes left in the first quarter and just cruise to victory.
Mm-hmm. Nick says he's from the UK. I have a question. If people in New England credit Bill Belichick for the team's achievements, can we also take a step back and question some of his decisions in the past? On many occasions, I've heard that Bill prefers hungry veteran players. Although this has proven a successful model for creating great teams in the past, it is also fair to say that the decline in the team's defense is also due to an aging linebacker core, which is beginning to struggle with basics such as run stopping and tackling. Based on preseason, the end of last season, and the loss of Asante Samuel, I don't have a lot of faith in this defense.
Well, aging linebackers or Teddy Bruschi? Because Mike Vrabel's coming off an all-pro season.
His best
and
season.
And Adalys Thomas is coming off the year in which you gave him $30 million as the prize in the
he
free
He should
agency.
Be in his prime.
He should be. He's over 30. Over 31, I think.
Yeah,
but
he's not a young linebacker.
I mean, the guy we're talking about is Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah, it's all
because the other starter is Gerard Mayo. So,
and Adalys Thomas coming off a year where he wasn't at his
wasted
best
inside.
Position mm-hmm. the whole year. Mm-hmm.
And Colvin's not here anymore, so you can't point to him. So and he was okay last year too. He wasn't bad.
I don't want to nitpick on one guy, but I think we're pointing to one guy. Teddy Bruschi is the aging guy who. Based on even most recent performances, looks least like he did when he was at the top of his game.
Absolutely.
Mike Vrabel's coming off his best season as a pro. So to say he's this aging, slowing linebacker.
Well, we'll see this
really
year
accurate.
If these guys age overnight. I mean, we never know.
Yeah. Right.
He may start showing his age.
Sure.
It could happen.
But the guy who's shown it most right now, Teddy Bruschi.
You got guys under 30 on the roster at that position. Eric Alexander, Sean Crable, Gary Guyton, Gerard Mayo. Pierre Woods. That's five of the nine.
Right.
And one of the nine is Larry Izzo, who doesn't really play linebacker.
Doesn't play defense. And you can't count Say out because he's a freak of nature. Even if he comes back, he could be 50 years old and still play like he's 15.
He's no John Lynch.
No.
Joel and Merrimack says, I'm actually listening live today, so I'm Woo-hoo. Kind of psyched. After the transactions of the last 3 days, I am really beginning to appreciate our schedule this year. I think it really goes to prove that Belichick believes he can scheme his way through games. I was kind of disappointed when we picked up O'Neal. I was really holding out hope for Ty Law. Two questions for you guys. Is Brady's injury to his foot plant foot?
Yes.
And do you guys think we are better off this year than last? And if so, why? Thanks and keep up the great show.
No, because they're not going to go 16-0.
But if they win the title, they're better off.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think they're as serious of title contender as they were last year.
Why not?
Because I think the defense is worse, and I think the offense is going to take a step back.
But my question is, aside from a New York Giants-type team, a team that catches lightning in a bottle November, December, and goes on a run, I still think the Patriots compete with the best teams in football.
Oh, no question, but I don't think they're as far and away a lock as we thought last year.
But we didn't really think they were far and away a lock to start the year, did we?
No, but when they were 9-0, 10-0, 11-0, 12-0.
I still think they're in the mix of the best two or three teams in football. And as long as you're in that mix, if you become hot at the right time, you win the title instead of the other chump team from New York.
That's fair. But I don't think they're better off than they were last year. No, not going into the season.
What part of the defense do you think is worse off than last year?
Secondary.
And why do you think it's worse off?
Because there's no Asante Samuel and there's three safeties. And they're all a year older.
Well, the three safeties is basically what you had last year. I mean, who else did you have?
And they're all a year older.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, that's
had
good for James Sanders and Brandon Merriweather. It's
right.
only no, worse
good
for
Rodney
Harrison.
And he's your leader on defense. And your other leader on defense is also a year older.
That's a fair argument.
Inside linebacker.
I got nothing for that.
You don't have anything for that.
No one does.
Basically, though, the one corner.
You have a rookie starting cornerback.
The one corner.
And a guy on the other side who plays like a rookie.
A bad rookie.
And you have an offense that cannot even come close to putting up 589 points.
Are they going to go 8-8? Because I'm starting to get worried listening
but you're
to you. That
me,
they're...
But no, you just asked me what I don't like in comparison to last year. And that's, I think there are worse in certain areas.
Be better in any area?
Well, if they're
running
healthy
the football,
at running back, running the football.
On defense,
and that's going to have to cut. No.
And defensive line.
How about if Richard Seymour
healthy.
Is to be
right.
listened to? And, oh, by the way, the number 10 overall pick could be a playmaker.
Because I say.
We've seen inside linebackers come in and be
still,
impact.
He's still a rookie, though. He's still young.
Patrick Willis set the record for tackles
Amico
in an
Ryan
NFL season last year. Right.
Well,
I mean, you can have an impact.
I'm not saying he's not going to have an impact. I think we're all putting a little too much on him right away.
Well, I don't.
Well, I'm saying if the front seven plays better than it did last year, the loss of Asante Samuel isn't going to matter much because that's going to make up for
it. It should, yes.
It's going to make up for
that's
that.
That's what we're hoping for.
So if that's the case, I think this is a better defense than last year.
But I'm worried about offensively having two good wide receivers, because basically they have two good wide receivers. And what are they going to do with the offensive line? How are they going to compensate blocking there? The running game has to pick it up. It has to be better, not just in December, but September, October, and November as well. And if it's not, able to find a way to compensate
for the lack in offense,
they're going to have to find some way.
The only guy they don't have this year they had last year was Stallworth.
They got to miss Stallworth a lot, I think, personally. I think he was a very quietly efficient performer, flew under the radar because you had two guys setting records.
And
the guy caught for 600 yards.
Allowed, as we said earlier,
and he allowed those
Jabbar
guys
Gaffney to be the four instead of the three. I think you're hurt more by Gaffney moving up than you are by losing Stallworth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not the production from
Stallworth. But conversely, with all that, they have an easier schedule. So it might even out.
And again, unless Gaffney can do enough of what Stallworth did to give Washington or Aiken, whoever that is, the fourth guy, those catches that Gaffney was getting over the middle. Because when we saw Aiken during camp, he was playing that four role, and he kept getting open all the
time. Sure. But now I feel like I'm asking two guys, Jabbar Gaffney and the other guy, to play above their heads as to what they are. I mean, I think they're established. It's not like either of them is a first-year player. They're all fives, sixes. Yeah.
The problem is what they are established as.
Right. They are what they are at this point.
Gaffney 7.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I got this team in the AFC title game, so it's not like I have them going 9-7. San Diego Superchargers.
Chargers. Really? Now, is LaDainian Tomlinson going to play that day, or is he just going to sit it out?
It may be too cold. He might not play. But if the game's in San Diego, he's going to play. And that's what the game's going to be in my book. See, that's my point.
Well, you do have the Patriots going 7-9. It's weird that they're even in the AFC title game. After
actually, I had them at 13-3. Thank you very much. So to say that I'm knocking them at this point, people have
which
to really
isn't
find
even
a stronger
the worst
argument
record
that's a stretch.
On this panel.
No, it is not. I
have
because them with a better record than Fred Kirsch.
Fred Kirsch thinks they're a 12-4 football team if they're lucky.
Major concession by me. 12-4.
My problem, I think sometimes
agree with
the problem
Paul.
With people in general and fans
you
is
you
we hold them
Paul.
To a standard.
Paul says 12-4
we compare now. Them to their former selves instead of the rest of the league.
But that's my point. I'm comparing them to the rest of the league, and I think they're still one of the two or three best teams.
Yeah, right.
By the way,
those
predictions for the Patriots and others can be found in the latest issue of PFW, available on newsstands today. If you want to subscribe, 1-800-494-PATS. That's 1-800-494-PATS.
If you want to send lunch, 1-800-494-LUNCH.
Right.
Yeah, the T-shirts.
No, a little bit late now. We've got 20 minutes. We're not going to get lunch today, obviously.
Why are you shaking your head?
Well, I'll be getting lunch when I leave the office.
Subscriptions. Let's see. Sam from Brighton. If the Patriots signed Troy Brown right now, he'd be the fourth best receiver on the team.
Thank you for joining the party that I started 2 weeks ago.
And
it's too bad no one else agrees with you because he's still home.
He asks, which of these players is the most likely to play for the Patriots this year? Ty Law, Troy Brown, or Junior Seau?
Junior Seau,
Troy Brown, Ty Law, in that order.
In that order?
Yep.
Law will play ahead of Troy Brown.
I think I agree with Mike.
You're the only person who wants Troy Brown. This isn't the figment of your imagination.
It's not just what I want. Troy Brown will play for $872,000.
There has been no rumbling whatsoever about Troy Brown being contacted or even contacting anybody.
There might be more of a need.
How loud were those rumblings before Randy Moss was traded for?
The rumblings of Ty Law are a lot louder than Troy Brown. So if you're basing it on that alone, then Troy Brown would be below
Ty Law. Who bases anything on rumblings?
I'm just telling you, Ty Law's
creating the rumblings himself by just saying, yeah, I talked to some teams.
Oh, well,
they all
then
want
Troy
me.
Brown should come out and say he's made phone calls with the Patriots.
He's a classier individual than one Ty Law.
Oh, we all agree with that, but it has nothing to do with this particular
case. And he would, I agree with Sam, I believe his name was. He would be the number four receiver on this team immediately.
He would suck.
Sam also says that Mike is an idiot. CJ Jones sucks.
Thank you.
Matthew Slater should be the Patriots kick returner for the next 10 years, and he will break any of Devin Hester's records.
Here we go. Right. Yeah, not the idiot.
Let's calm down.
All right, I jumped ship on the last line.
It's your boy, Andy.
Tell Gary to play Jerry Seinfeld saying, I chose not to run.
Because I choose not to run.
Is that Jerry Seinfeld or Tom Brady?
I choose not to compete.
By the way, I also heard him this week say that the only thing that's important discussing the offense and can they match last year is to win every game by one more point than the opposition. Doesn't that fly in the face? Yeah, doesn't that fly in the face when he was saying he was trying to kill teams and blow them out last year?
Well, they won it by
52
more
than the game. That's what you're trying to do.
See, I think it's when he had the talent to blow people out and knew they were going to blow people out, he says, I want to blow people out. Now that he knows they're going to barely beat teams by a single point.
I don't know. My goal would be to kick everybody's ass, not win by one point.
Of course it is.
I think Tom's getting his advice from Fred Kirsch here because a couple of months ago, Fred was saying he wanted to blow teams out and win everything, and that's what Tom was saying. Now Fred's got him 12-4, and he's saying, well, we'll be lucky if we just win by a point here.
Yes.
And just for the record, I like running up the score.
I still want them to blow every team out.
And they should. If they have the chance, they should bury it down people's throats.
Exactly. Embrace the hate and 08, baby.
The points. The ball, I mean. The ball.
That's the ball they're going to bury.
That's the ball they're going to bury down their throats.
Todd says,
check it out.
Ball. Todd says it's going to suck having EEI on Patriots Radio twice a week.
Yes,
you guys are much more balanced and entertaining to listen to. I would rather listen to paint dry than listen to player interviews.
Can you actually hear paint dry or watch paint dry?
I think it's both.
It's like watching grass grow or watching paint peel.
Paint dries, it crackles a little, I think.
A little bit?
The air leaves it.
Some piss poor paint if it does crack upon drying.
Darcy Johnson, 26-yard touchdown reception. For all fans that are interested, the Patriots-Giants game now being aired on
the last 10 yards by Fernando Bryant.
Yeah.
People won't like this show.
Who the hell was that?
It's Andy Hart.
Andy Hart.
People won't like this show.
I sound weird.
Yeah, all right, let's take a break. It's 1:41. We have some very important messages for you.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Reds! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Reds have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan
and former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the game with the greats.
Are you one of those old diehard fans who remembers their playing days, like the 1985 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriot Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
And Andre Tippett, one of my linebacking brothers. He'll be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the Game with the Greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that's pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yeah, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
We've heard about Eric's exploits on the football field, and he's heard about the upcoming Game with the Greats. But this is getting ridiculous, and he's dragging Kyle into his delusions of grandeur. Yes, Eric, we know it's not pronounced that way.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan.
And former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the Game with the Greats.
Are you one of those diehard fans who remembers our playing days, like the 85 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriots Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
Andre Tippett, one of my linebacker brothers, will be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the Game with the Greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium, when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that was pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yep, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike sounds more like Beavis and Butthead. Now, back to the guys. And Eric.
That's good.
I didn't realize the first time I heard that he says, yes, we know it's not pronounced that way. That made me laugh. I didn't catch that before.
But the Game with the Greats is coming up. It's the San Francisco game. That's
yes.
A good take.
Yeah.
This year, your tickets include admission to the hall at Patriot Place.
It'll be open.
Yeah. Ben Coates will be there. Stanley Morgan will be there. Ben just into the Patriots Hall of Fame, so you get his autograph.
Can
so,
we keep my breasts out of it?
So it's a very good take.
What?
And no, the Hall of Fame, the Patriots Hall, the Hall of Patriot Place will be open September 22nd. So,
3 weeks?
September 22nd.
Now, is there going to be a grand opening, like a big party?
There will be.
Because if there was some kind of...
On the 18th will be a ribbon-cutting ceremony with Raytheon, who is the naming sponsor.
Will there be food at that event?
Well, you won't be at that event, but there will be food. So
that wasn't very nice.
Only those that support Patriot Place.
I support Patriot Place. No, when I found out that
you're
there's
very
a thing,
negative,
there's a display where you can hit Teddy Bruschi. I signed up. I'm
you're
gonna be
so
first in line.
It.
Now, it's going to be quite impressive. I can tell you that much.
I'm sure it will be. I want to go to the place where you get cold fast. Something about that.
Cold fast.
You get cold quickly.
Okay. What are you talking about?
I thought it was about the snow game. Like, I thought you were involved
with
these meetings.
So what, the thermostat's on 20?
Yeah, wasn't there something?
Yeah, blows cold air on you.
No, that's great.
Vinatieri's kick, when they're going to recreate
Did that go out the window? Should I not be talking about that?
No, there is.
Did that get cut out in the budget
process? There is a place to recreate Adam Vinatieri's kick.
And isn't it cold?
The temperature does drop.
So then why did you say,
cold, what?
Should cover the floor in ice. That'd be a great feature.
With snow.
Have somebody slip on their ass.
And have the guy in shorts with the blower blowing the snow off so that they can kick.
It's going to be an amazing place.
I'm
amazing.
Sure it will be.
So,
all right.
That and all the other stores.
Actually, CBS. I'm not even
scene.
Mad.
I've had dinner
it's
twice
amazing.
At CBS.
Of course
scene.
You have. You went to basketball
well,
times.
I went
times.
Once, and then I went a second time. We were going to go to Red Robin, but the place was just absolutely packed.
You know Red Robin breaking all company sales records?
Yeah.
This one, this
particular one?
Store, yeah.
Really?
It's like the most popular Red Robin they've ever opened.
I bet I got a backup plan for
location,
lunch today, then.
Location, location.
Well,
apparently
I don't know
not,
about that.
Not.
It's not. I mean, it's just, I think.
Proving that rule
this
wrong.
This area was starved for something like that. You know, we've got a Chili's.
Literally.
We got a Chili's down the street, but there's not a lot of good.
That's what I'm saying. The location was great. They needed something like that, and they didn't have one before. And there's a lot of people around here now, so.
I think it's just Paul.
Oh.
Josh writes in, I have only one question regarding what I've seen so far in preseason. When is Maroney going to join the cast of Dancing with the Stars?
Aww.
He'd be a clear favorite to win, especially if it were line dancing with the stars.
I like that. That's funny, actually.
When's the offensive line going to line up and blow people off the ball and give them a hole to work with?
Week one.
Chicken or the egg?
Versus Kansas City.
Yes.
Chris with a TIAN says that Chad Jackson is visiting Oakland.
Yeah, we heard about that.
Yeah, that's a good supportive environment to, be the next step in his career.
He'd be a good fit in Dallas.
Yeah.
They like that sort of stuff there.
I thought Baltimore was rumored to be interested.
How did he clear waivers then? Wouldn't one of these teams have picked him up at that point?
That's
a great
question, Eric.
He's a free agent now, isn't he?
Because he cleared waivers.
Yeah,
no
cleared
one put
waivers.
A claim on him.
He can go anywhere.
So what's the question?
I'm saying
if anyone was interested,
why didn't they just pick
him
up off waivers?
Well, you have to pick up his current contract.
Yes,
which
but
is an
as
exorbitant
a second
though.
Round pick. It, in all likelihood, he was making the rookie minimum.
He probably had some guarantees in there.
All guarantees were the
performance based,
dead
probably.
Money on the New England
Patriots,
Patriots
had to pay
cap.
Those. Yeah.
Yes, when you have a bust that's a relatively high pick, you eat those.
And I would say that Chad Jackson officially gets called a bust, at least here in New England.
Yeah. God, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
if he goes on to have a great career somewhere else, that might be taken away. But right now, as far as Patriots are concerned,
he'll always be
a bust here. Always.
Yeah. Always.
Forever. But he's finalized as
his
bust.
His career won't be a bust if he goes somewhere and has a good career. But his career
I'm rooting
here
for
is
him too, Fred.
You are.
Well, Andy's been in love with him since they drafted him.
And to me, he's never done anything like mean spirit.
Right.
He's immature. He doesn't get it, whatever you want to call it. But he's a likable guy.
Yeah, not a bad person. No.
You know, I'm rooting for him. He's got talent. You don't want to see talent wasted.
Mark tape, McFadden stinks.
Yeah, we wish we still had him here and that he lived up to that potential that we saw him. Like we said before, you line him up next to Ray Ventrone or even C.J. Jones and you say which guy's going to have the better career, it's not even a contest.
But you have no reason to root against him either, do you?
No, he's never done anything
bad. I thought Bethel Johnson was more of a bristly character to deal with. Well,
he was an airhead.
I think they both might be. I don't want to be mean.
No, but he was more of an intentional airhead.
But Chad Jackson seems like everybody kind of likes him. He just
he was always willing to talk to the media.
But
he
I'm just saying, teammates too.
Bethel
like
Johnson
I heard teammates
said stupid
yell
things
at,
in the locker room and played wiffle ball.
And I heard
like
teammates yell at Bethel
paper.
Johnson. I never heard anybody yell at Chad Jackson.
No.
So I just don't see any reason to root against him. And I guess if he came back as a Jet and torched you twice a year for it would be unfortunate for Patriots fans.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see him go to Oakland and in week two. Have six catches for 140 yards and two scores, and just say, man, just didn't work here.
That's the thing. He was such a laid-back kind of personality that even on the field, whenever we noticed this during camp, whenever something bad would happen or he'd make a mistake, it'd always be kind of like an aw shucks kind of thing.
Right.
Not really like, oh, damn, I really need to
I don't think he's overly driven mentally.
Yeah.
Like, I think physically he works hard
to
run and to lift and that stuff, but mentally I don't think he's overly driven.
Football's not important to him.
No, I'm not saying it's not important, but I just don't think he gets...
And I think he needs to go somewhere where they're just going to throw him the ball. Say, he's a great athlete, we got to give him the ball. And I think Oakland could be that kind of place where you just throw the ball in his direction and hope he makes plays, and I think sometimes he will.
Got to run the right route.
Not necessarily. When he gets open, throw it in his direction.
Earlier we were talking about Tom Brady's health. Strippers writes in a couple things. He says, Seth Wickersham states, quote, but the night before the game, one of Brady's closest friends whispered to me that the QB's injury was worse than you can imagine. He said it particularly affected Brady's mobility and his ability to throw deep.
That's the Super Bowl.
That's the Super Bowl.
That was the Super Bowl.
I think we all saw that.
Right.
I don't think
that's any big revelation.
Talk
about making chicken salad out of chicken.
I really don't like Seth Wickersham.
And he also says, ESPN the magazine, Merrill Hodge, says they got caught up in themselves and became ego-driven last season. Do you agree?
Merrill Hodge is a moron.
Yes, he is.
Well, no, I don't agree. I think what they got caught up in last year, and I've said this a million times, is they took too much of a business-like approach to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they weren't having any fun.
Right. The Giants came out and treated it like the game of their lives. The Patriots came out like it was the culmination of this work week of business. And I think the who wanted it more bit them in the butt because the Giants were more emotionally driven.
They got caught up in the wave of Big Blue defense.
Yeah, I think the Giants went out there. They said, we have to seize this day and play the game of our lives. And the Patriots went out there to complete the journey as mapped out before them.
And they threw caution to the wind by rushing Brady all day.
Right.
And it worked. And they knew he was hobbling a little bit.
And I think that last game of the season gave them a lot of confidence. They probably should have won that game.
The regular season game.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
They blew a fourth quarter lead.
Yeah.
The Giants played to win that game. They came out to grab it, whereas the Patriots just came out to do business.
Jolan Merrimack, okay, guys, you need to have a new segment of the show to focus on the idiot of the week. And this week I would like to nominate Marshall Faulk for his obvious objective pick of the New York Jets to win the AFC East this year.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Yeah. But I can appreciate it. He clearly has just said, I hate the Patriots. Yeah. I'm going to let everybody know I hate the Patriots. And every decision I make on this air will be against the Patriots.
So I can assume his reasoning is Brett Favre. I guess we could.
No, I assume his reasoning is he hates
the Patriots. No, I want to know what he says on the air. Not I hate. He's not going to go on the air and say I hate.
Oh,
the Patriots.
Oh yeah, your argument could be the Jets made a number of moves this offseason. Playmakers.
I mean,
I can
generally respect everybody's opinion, but I just think that's a big freaking.
He plays the role of Fred Kirsch on that show. I mean, you know what he's going to say. What
that's true.
Spot he comes from.
Tell you what though, if we have that segment, Merrill Hodge is going to win at least 8 of those.
Oh yeah.
I was nominating Michael Parenti for liking C.J. Jones.
Yeah, and you'll be following me up a week later with Troy Brown.
Well, between Merrill Hodge and Mark Schlereth.
A lot of morons.
These are these are guys that are just idiots.
Yeah.
The whole world. Hey, there's John Wellborn back when he had a job and wasn't unemployed like a jerk.
And no one's picked up Gutierrez.
No.
Gutierrez, is that the proper way to say his name?
Spanish. It's Gutierrez.
Thank God we can get rid of that stupid argument of how to say it and who says it some 8 different ways.
But does that surprise you at all? That he's,
that's how you say his name?
That he's what? No, that he's still, that he didn't, that he cleared waivers, I guess.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't
I mean,
me.
Look, if you're going to pick up a guy off a quarterback off of waivers, you want somebody with some experience.
Well, you could pick him up as your 3 and just develop
him. Yeah, but based on what performance?
I don't know. You don't have to yell
you know?
At me.
I don't know. I just
so many
Patriots fans
guys like him
were,
out there. Why is it a shock that he's still unemployed?
Yeah.
There are a billion guys like him out there.
The 49ers who have QB issues. Any number of teams that have backup QB
issues. Wow, the 49ers have 2 quarterbacks, right?
No,
that
they don't
means
have
you
1.
Have none.
Well, I'm just saying they
JT O'Sullivan, a guy who was on the practice squad here and looked ridiculous in the locker room, is their starting quarterback.
He's going to be their starter.
But now he's got a haircut, so it's a little
He
more
looks better now, so it's a little more believable that he could actually lead a team to victory.
Because, you know, the hair has a lot to do with
it. Has everything to do with it.
When's the last time you saw a guy with long ridiculous hair playing quarterback in the National Football League leading a huddle?
Yeah, cuz you know why, Fred? Cuz the long hair covers the ears and you're saying here the transmission from the coaches.
Did Archie Manning have long hair?
Zolak?
He didn't lead his team to anything.
No, to 0 wins, actually.
That you just can't. Have you ever seen anybody that looks like Kevin Green playing quarterback?
No, you haven't.
Thank you.
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
I don't know. Because you, in that position, you have to be a leader. You have to carry yourself in a certain way.
So how you have your hair.
The only guy that could look ridiculous in that position would be a LeBron James type or some ridiculous freak, super talented player.
Could Tom Brady look like that then?
Now he could. He couldn't have back when.
I mean, like three,
not way back when. He wouldn't have been drafted.
Oh, when he was drafted, yeah.
The Blues? They're saying Drew.
Look at Bob Sanders.
See what happened to his career? The longer his hair got, the worse he got.
What about Bob Sanders?
He's going to jump my butt.
He's not a quarterback. He doesn't play quarterback.
Well, you start bringing other positions into it.
No,
you talking about somebody and all this stuff. You lost me like 5 minutes ago.
He was making an example of a superstar player at their position.
We're on a hair argument now. This is great.
That
this
you
is
just
what we
made
do on
awful.
People won't like this show.
James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. So now some of you think the team is not all that good and may be lucky to go 10-6.
No, here we go. Now we're going to put words in people's mouth now.
I think the worst prediction any of us had was 12-4.
Here's the prediction.
I said 13-3 AFC Championship. Now I think they're going to be lucky to go 10-6.
I have them going to the Super Bowl against the Redskins.
Paul has them 12-4. Andy 13-3. Mike 13-3. I have them 14-2. Fred has Patriots over Redskins.
That's Homer.
Andy has Patriots over Cowboys. I have Patriots over Cowboys.
I said they were worse than last year. Last year they were 16-0. This year they're going to be 13-3. That's worse.
Anyway, James says we are underestimating this team, and
better.
He thinks the Bills.
But I don't think they are. So, or even go there. So, you know, worse.
He thinks that Bill is hoping the rest of the league underestimates them, too. If you really think they are going to lose that many, then who on the schedule are you so sure is going to be good enough to beat them?
Yeah, guys.
Three games.
Name the
schedule.
Fred Kirsch, name the four losses. Go.
Colts.
Well, I think the Colts could be one. I don't think they'll lose to the Chargers. They really don't like that team, and I think they'll get up for that.
I think they could lose the game to the Bills.
I was going to give you one.
Okay, that's
Bills.
Two.
They could lose a game in Miami to the Dolphins. Who knows?
Now they're losing two games in the division?
They have a better chance of losing week two to the Jets than to lose to either the Bills or the Dolphins.
Yeah, there's a number of teams that they could
Favre's
lose.
Favre's home
to.
Opener, all that crap. But they get fired up. They take a 28-0 lead in the rest of the season.
They could lose, then
some
to necessarily
crap
lose
that
four of them.
Well, I mean, 12-4. I mean, there was a day before the Patriots started
it's
just dominating
record.
that would have been an awesome record. You know?
It is a very good record. Not awesome. It's never been awesome.
12-4?
No, because there had always been 15-1s, 14-2s.
There are only about three 15-1s in NFL history.
That's right.
There's a bunch of 14-2s. So
12-4
was never
awesome.
Yeah,
the Patriots have two of them.
Fred, I guarantee you almost every single season in the last 25 years or however since they went to the schedule that there's been a 12-4 team. That doesn't make it awesome.
But a 12-4 team is like top seed in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I think they're underestimating 12-4.
That's awesome.
See, I disagree. I think
it's
there
just
was
a fun fact.
It was a run-of-the-mill.
Where's Paul when you need him?
Every single year there was a 12-4 team or better.
It's just a fun fact. But that 12-4 gets you like top seed.
Right.
You're getting a home playoff game at 12-4.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But not...
You're getting a free trip to the AFC title game or your conference title game at 12-4.
Well,
it's awesome.
Unless you're the
it's a fun fact.
Jaguars.
It's awesome.
That's right. Fun fact. It's just a fun
fact.
Is
I'm going to look
like
that up and see
what
12-4
the Chiefs have home field.
Your
they,
awesome
they
record.
Piss it away,
run of the
so
mill.
I guess that doesn't.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back on Thursday. And Thursday night is the first game of the season, so we're excited about that.
We have picks on Thursday.
Picks on Thursday. So
I will be excited about Thursday.
Why?
Because the Giants.
Because it's New York Giants.
Who are they playing?
The Washington Redskins.
Oh, Fred's
Super Bowl
team.
Pick.
Yeah. Last year's Super Bowl winner versus this year's Super
I'm
Bowl winner.
I'm predicting a Redskins win in that game. All right, so that's
supposed
to
save it for Thursday.
Well, it's just one game. All right, we will see you Thursday.
Fred doesn't care if people call him Homer. And he's taking it out on the PFW guy.
And I've learned something, too. Being a sellout is sweet because you make a lot of money. And when you have money, you don't have to hang out with any poor-ass losers like you guys.
He'll be back for more Bill Walshing tomorrow.
Screw you guys. And again.
Patriots.com Radio. Long, long.